about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Happiness. Many will advise you how to obtain it, but maybe you're not trying to be happy. Your actions aim for the opposite. You want to be the saddest saddo sailing on the sea of sadness. So let's begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The Dallas Zoo shared this video of 14-year-old Zola playing in his pool. So we're sharing it with you. With apologies to Cyndi Lauper, gorillas, they want to have fun. Oh, gorillas, you just want to have fun.
Do you like Vladimir Putin's comments about you?
Sure. When people call you brilliant, it's always good, especially when the person heads up Russia.
He kills journalists that don't agree with him.
Well, I think our country does plenty of killing also, Joe. So, you know.
All right, guys, let's end strong. What do you say? Let's power on out of here.
And now.
And now. Number 5 in the ratings, but number 1 in our hearts. Here's
our feature presentation.
We moved up to 5th.
Oh,
sweet.
Didn't know it was a celebration.
News. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 5th of November.
I kind of miss Rocktober, don't you guys?
No.
That little jolt of guitar first thing in the morning? Yeah. It pumped me up, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
there it is. Feels good. Technically, we could play it even
whenever.
Summer, October.
Yeah,
okay.
But it's Blovember. You can't really. Hey guys,
I'm with that guy.
I had a question for Jensen. We talked about this off the air, but didn't get a chance to bring it on. The Popeye's chicken sandwich,
yes,
is back. Now this is what are they? What's the official name of? What are they calling this new item on the
menu?
Spicy
chicken sandwich.
Spicy chicken sandwich. Now this is the one that caused riots.
Yes.
I mean, Popeye's stores literally had to close because there were mobs of people trying to get in to order the chicken sandwich, and they ran out of chicken. Right.
Uh huh.
Okay. Popeyes has been in the chicken business for a long, long time.
Absolutely.
How did this happen? How did the mass hysteria around the spicy chicken sandwich happen? Because they're certainly not the first fast food restaurant that has offered a spicy chicken sandwich. This isn't like a brand new invention.
And it's even a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even a good one, right? This has kind of always existed. How did they introduce an item on the menu that caused this kind of turmoil?
I think this is one of those examples of something that caught fire on the internet. I think that a couple people had the new spicy chicken sandwich, and they were like, wow, this is much better than anyone would have expected. This is better than Chick-fil-A. Like, that was kind of the reaction people were having on Twitter and Instagram.
How's it get from that to riots?
I mean, that's the crazy part, is that I don't think Popeyes ever understood how much they would actually sell of it. And so it became a supply versus demand thing. And when that happens, you get the Black Friday stabbings. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. That's when the banks close, because everybody wants to take their money out that day. But I mean, if I saw somebody online that said, hey, tried the new spicy chicken sandwich and it's good, I'd make a note. Yeah, next time I'm in, you know, going to Popeyes, or next time I'm in the mood, I'll swing by. It wouldn't be like, oh my God, I have to abandon my family and head down there right now with a rifle and a pitchfork,
right,
which is what it seemed like. So they introduced it a few months ago, and mm-hmm. it was a, you could, depending on how you spin it, it was either colossal success or a colossal failure, because they ended up having to withdraw it from the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And then they retooled, I guess, and did what to make it not happen this time around as they introduced it again?
They built up a Noah's Ark chicken sandwich. They basically just made sure that they had enough for a reopening on this last Sunday.
Honestly, ask yourself, have you seen any chickens walking around?
I was wondering if they just drove around and, like, everybody's chickens, they just threw them in the back of their car.
Gone.
They just stole chickens from all over America. All right, so what was your experience like, Jensen, when you decided to go try it out? And by the way, very brave or foolish to go on day one.
Well, I was strapped. I had a Glock, just in case.
And
of course. It's a given.
And a machete, which no one bothered me about. So I went to the Popeyes in the Valley. There's one deep in the Valley. And I expected, it was the first day, but I still expected, because it was like right before a dinner rush, I expected there not to be a lot of people. I'd seen
online, like 4 p.m. maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
And I expected a lot of people to say, I've seen a lot of people online saying, like, oh, there wasn't a line. I was surprised. So I pull up, and And I go, oh, not all that parking lot seems pretty bare. And then I look over at the Popeyes, and there's maybe 30 people in line.
Really?
The line is physically out the door. Shouts to the person who recognized me from Kevin and Bean and said hello as
By
I
way,
slowly was
right
embarrassed
there.
More and more. Yeah.
Kevin, if you ever pulled up to a fast food
nope.
restaurant.
Keep driving.
There's no, in a million years, I'm going to Jack in the Box then. You go anywhere else, right?
Nope,
you,
keep
no
driving.
Way you wait in line 30 people to get food.
Yeah, but it's also like, this is a one item that he's going for. It's not just a general, let's go get food there.
And
yeah.
I was committed. I already drove.
No, you weren't.
I was.
And no,
I
you
felt
really weren't.
Committed.
Bean's
no
right. You could just keep driving.
No drive-thrus at Popeyes, at least this one.
So you got in a line of 30 people.
And it went eerily fast. I was only in line for like 10 minutes tops, maybe 15 minutes.
Well, it's not terrible.
No. And then when I got
but
up
at the end of it, did you just get a chicken sandwich?
Yes.
Okay, that's terrible.
I ordered two chicken sandwiches and this weird sort of, while I was there, it sold me on a sign that said pumpkin pie pocket. And I was like, sure, I'll buy that without any knowledge of what it is. And it ended up just being like a McDonald's pie, mm-hmm. like one of those fruit pies, yeah. but with pumpkin pie inside.
Oh, yeah.
Very good, by the way.
You get a drink? You get fries?
No.
Okay.
None of those things. Just give me the chicken sandwich and get out. Okay.
Okay.
So when I ordered it, they said, are you cool with 25-minute wait? And I was like, well, this
oh
is not.
After standing in line?
Not what I wanted to hear. Yeah.
Wow.
And I said, well, I have no choice at this point.
You do.
No, I don't. I'm legally obliged to stay.
He said he was
stay.
Committed.
I'm fully committed.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I understand for folks tuning in. This was to get rage tickets at Coachella, right?
No, this was to get a chicken sandwich.
Oh, a chicken sandwich at Popeyes.
Just
okay.
to remind you.
Right.
And so, yeah, and then I waited about 15 to 20. That was nice.
Oh, my God.
Wasn't as long as I thought. But then, while I was waiting in line, someone walked up, ordered their chicken sandwich, and she said, the wait is an hour. And the person said, that's fine, and paid the money. And
what?
They were going to wait an hour.
This is a cult.
Yeah.
This is a cult.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't care how good it is. I just come back another time. They're still going to be selling it, like, next week.
Well, we don't know.
I mean,
not if we go by the past experience. No, they'll be out of them in a week.
This is unbelievable.
Do you want to take that chance, Kevin?
Yes.
Was it?
Because I have a life.
Was it worth it?
It was a very, very good spicy chicken sandwich.
You didn't
an
answer
hour's
his question.
Worth, though? An hour's wait?
Well, it ended
worth
up being
it?
About 45 minutes in the end. But
was it worth it?
I can raise a chicken in 45 minutes.
I think it was worth it. It was a very good
wow.
chicken sandwich, yeah. It was very good.
What about the pickle? They say the pickle tastes like
chicken. I didn't have that experience.
You
no.
didn't?
I thought it tasted like a pickle. I know that's shocking.
I would have thrown that sandwich right
man.
Back at him.
I do Let's think maybe they ran out of... This is very strange to say, but I think it's supposed to come also with a spicy mayo.
Okay.
And that was not in my sandwich, so they may have run out of the spicy
mayo.
Is that
what makes it spicy, or is the spice something
no,
in the breading?
No, it was still very spicy in the breading.
In the breading, okay.
And the skin breading was very good.
I mean, if you didn't get the spicy mayo, though, you have to go back.
You got to
well,
go
yeah,
back.
I mean,
yeah.
probably
I'm
today. Just trying to put off about 2 hours worth okay. of work.
Let's go to Washington, D.C. real quick before the break.
We got a call for a stabbing. There was a argument that began inside the restaurant behind me.
At a Popeye's
between two
chicken.
Adult males. That argument spilled out into the street. And one male stabbed the other.
Uh-huh. Mm.
The victim, a 28-year-old man from our area, was rushed to a local hospital. Our police officers arrived on scene. They pulled out their medical trauma kits, and they began to apply life-saving measures on him here at the scene, and then he was transported to the hospital.
Okay, he died. Let's find out what the stabbing was over.
Mm-hmm. What we have since been able to determine through our investigation, our homicide detectives are hard at work on this one, but we have been able to determine preliminarily, that this is related to the release of the sandwich here at this restaurant. That this individual was in line, a line specifically for the sale of the sandwich when another customer and he got into an altercation. And that ended with the victim being stabbed outside of the business.
You were smart to take your machete, Jensen. Wow. You never know, man.
I felt sort of anger building there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not sticking around. I ran out.
So nobody tried to cut in your line, though.
Correct.
So you're safe.
Yeah.
But did they ask those two people, like, was the sandwich worth it, the stabbing?
Well, one guy did walk up in the line, and he went, I need a new one. And they said, what? He said, I need a new chicken sandwich. And they said, what do you mean? He said, this one's garbage.
Really?
Yeah. He's like,
oh
this
my
one,
gosh.
This one tastes like garbage. I need a new one. And they took him and they were like, okay, well, you'll have to wait about 15 minutes. He's like, that's fine with me.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Nothing says more about America in 2019 than Popeye's fried chicken.
Well, I'm happy to be part of that chaos.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's a Rorschach test.
I really was embarrassed when the person tapped me and said, big fan of the show. But when I said, can you just not... Tell anyone
Don't tell
you saw
anyone that.
Yeah. But I waited in line like an idiot.
Let's take All a right. call real quick. We have a call from Steve in Simi
oh, really?
Valley. Good morning,
right.
Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys? Steve Massini, longtime listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
Great. You have something to say about the Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich.
Yep. I will say I went there on Sunday in Simi Valley. Didn't even wait that long. Tried to use the app. Of course, it was crashing. Didn't work. I got four chicken sandwiches, two for me, two for my 15-year-old. Not a game changer at all, in my opinion.
Not worth it.
Yep, and I'm a big dude, like to eat a lot. So I'm just telling you, Chick-fil-A, just as good. And
yeah, but on Sunday, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you're going to get Sunday. It on a Sunday.
Close Sundays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, man, we appreciate the review. Thank you.
Crazy, right?
Chick-fil-A!
What's happening?
Beat it.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, damn, Tony, don't nobody want to hear all that. Man, we having a pleasant barbecue.
Comedian Jimmy Pardo joins us in studio.
Oh, my closest friend in show business.
Sure. People are dumb on the program today. Would you take a pill if it would erase all bad memories?
Ooh.
I think maybe so.
I would.
Is that real? It's a great question.
And I don't know, Dr. McKay. We'll ask you in a few minutes.
And things stuck in your body.
So what? That's I'm sorry. I missed that. I didn't hear that.
Things stuck in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Currently?
Shock the body, shock the body?
Yes.
Kevin, what's stuck in your body?
I posted a picture on my tweet yesterday of a trumpet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The not the mouth end was inside the person.
No.
Very hot.
There's the horn end.
Yes, the horn end.
I mean, very bad. That's a bad
you
idea.
You said very hot.
No, that's what I heard.
I heard
said
very hot.
Not, like not good.
Yeah. I know where it is. It's in your butt.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. A lot of response from that picture. So everybody's like, no, thank you. So we're going to do it anyway. This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll take a break. Matt Mason on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
He'll be your opening act at night 2 of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. We announced the details yesterday. Get yours at krock.com. They go on sale pre-sale Thursday morning at 10. Hey, Allie.
Hey.
What's happening on this Tuesday?
What was that gurgle noise?
Don't know.
Was it me?
Ruben's mom?
Did you hear? Is she barely alive in another room? Should we be checking?
She's tied up here in the basement, yes.
Okay. Good Lord. Bean, this has you written all over it. I know how much you love Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and I know how much you love Kacey Musgraves.
I sure do.
So what if we combine the two? Because Kacey Musgraves has announced a new star-studded Christmas special that's coming this month on Amazon. It's the Kacey Musgraves Christmas Show.
How do you even make that noise?
Just really excited.
I know, but...
just super thrilled.
But if I was super thrilled and excited, I couldn't make that noise.
I love everything about this.
Bean, she's probably going to put out a full album of Christmas music.
She already did. She put one out last year, yeah. who else is going to be on the special?
It's going to be a variety type show. She's going to duet with a lot of celebrity friends on classic Christmas carols. A few specific names for you. Camila Cabello. Mm. She's going to do Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Troye Sivan will team up with her for the debut of Glittery.
That's a nice choice.
Kendall Jenner is going to assist in some hosting duties.
Where's Willie? Where's her good friend Willie?
Willie Nelson?
Yeah.
I'm like, who's Willie? I thought it was just a random friend of hers.
You thought it was Free Willie?
No, she and Willie always perform together.
Oh, he is not listed on here, but he could be there. Who knows?
I hope so.
Schitt's Creek Dan Levy will be narrating. That's a TV show.
Okay.
Yeah. He will be narrating the proceedings, and then other guests are included Zooey Deschanel, Fred Armisen, Lana Del Rey, James Corden.
Wow.
The Radio City Rockettes. Amazon Prime Video will have Kacey Musgraves' Christmas show on November 29th, Bean.
That's amazing. Thank you for that.
I love a good variety Christmas show.
I do too.
It's just good.
And Kacey is adorable.
She's very talented.
That's awesome.
Very talented. This is weird news. El Chapo might finally be able to see his beautiful beauty queen wife on prison TV.
What?
His wife, Emma, who's the 30-year-old wife of the notorious drug kingpin.
My wife.
Is in talks to join VH1's cartel crew. What is happening here?
A very odd reality we live in.
My God.
What?
He's barred from seeing her because he's locked up in the nation's only Supermax facility in Colorado. But she was recently spotted in Miami for a round of meetings to discuss joining the reality TV show. She was photographed on a yacht for a meeting with cast member Michael Blanco, the youngest son of a so-called cocaine godmother, Griselda Blanco. I I will watch the show. How dare you make me want to watch a show?
What is the show's just following them around?
Can I follow up real quick?
Yeah.
Who's the cocaine godmother? And that's a great nickname.
Griselda Blanco.
That's a great nickname.
Good name.
His wife, right?
Bean, do you know her?
No, I don't
know.
Black
Widow.
Griselda Blanco?
Yeah.
Beer Mug, tell me more.
She was taken out hit in Colombia by the very method that she created, which was a drive-by on a motorbike.
Wow.
Yep. He said she was taken out, though?
She was killed.
No, he knows a lot of random stuff about, like, mobby stuff.
Oh, so the cocaine godmother is dead.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Not El Chapo's wife.
No.
2013. No. Oh, no, his wife is, like, a 30-year-old young woman.
If you ever watch Cocaine Cowboys...
Yes!
We had that guy in here, right? That was the guy who made the baseball steroid movie.
Yes, yeah. This is the same Patrick Corbin.
Yeah.
There's Cocaine Cowboys 1, and then 2 is Running with the Godmother.
Listen to Muggs.
He knows everything about the mafia, the mob.
Yes. In order to do cocaine, you had to learn everything about it.
There was a test before the first
He knows the history of Vegas. He knows everything about that stuff.
Okay, Muggs, honestly, you're going to watch VH1's Cartel Crew.
Yes, and Michael Blanco.
Yes, the son of cocaine.
Griselda.
Yeah.
Named him after Michael Corleone from The Godfather.
Whoa.
Muggs, I am so glad you're here.
What a book report.
And the diorama you just made
it's incredible.
Just fantastic.
Also, why is there a volcano that's erupting?
It's weird.
But it's still good.
Muggs has a keyword set up on his DVR for cartel, for cocaine.
He really does.
Wow.
Anything related to this. That's incredible.
I love it. Well, it's unclear if Emma does.
Never go to Vegas with Muggs.
Every step, you know what that is.
This is the place where it drives you crazy.
This is where the golden nugget was.
Yeah.
It's great. Unclear how much Emma will be able to open up about her life. Since she's married to one of the most feared crime families in the world.
Can't even happen. I don't even buy it.
Cartel Crew.
Yeah, but
it's weird that she would even allow...
That's my
point. They would even allow her to go on television.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to be like The Housewives where someone like flips a table and throws a water. Like if you do that to her, she pulls out like a machete and just cuts your head off.
Oh, she has people to do that for her.
On VH1?
Well, you know what?
Changing
sensors don't know, you know.
Yeah.
Muggs, how many times have you been to visit the Bonnie and Clyde death car?
Oh, well, it used to be in the Imperial Palace, and then they since have moved it to the Mob Museum. So I haven't been there since the Mob Museum.
Okay.
But you run.
Honestly, nothing's better than
today. Love him.
So good. All right, some birthdays for you, Kevin.
Do you think that really happened, or do you not think that really happened?
Good question.
I think it happened. Okay. Not Kevin, but Kevin Jonas. No. People got real excited for your birthday, Kevin. No. Kevin Jonas, Odell Beckham Jr., Sam Rockwell, Tilda Swinton, and NBA Hall of Famer Bill Walton.
People are dumb on the program today. Also, things stuck in your body. Kevin apparently has something to tell us. Jimmy Pardo joins us later this morning, and we have tickets to see Trevor Noah, at the Staples Center for his stand-up comedy, which is going to be great. By the way, I'm out of breath right now.
Well, that must have been really tiring to say that.
I mean, you're almost dead.
By the way, if you enjoyed the 21 Pilots interview as much as we did, quick reminder, it is up at KROQ.com. You can actually watch it, too, when the guys came in. All right. Jensen, you have been through this probably more recently than we have. What can you tell us? What do you remember about meeting your now wife's parents for the first time?
For the first time, went to a dinner, and it was just, I mean, very uneventful in a sense. It's just like, these are cool people. Like, you immediately recognize this is a very great family.
So they weren't sizing you up?
No.
How soon into the relationship was that?
That was...
First date?
No. That was like a good 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys were starting to get a little bit serious.
Yeah.
Right?
That, a little bit committed. You have to meet any significant other's parents, I think, at least 6 months in.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can immediately see if they're absolutely bonkos people.
Right.
And then you realize you're entering chaos.
Did you feel any kind of pressure to impress at the head into the dinner?
No. At this age, I mean, if I was like in my 20s and dating, that's probably different and you're just nervous all the time. But when you're in your late 30s, it's like, dude, I can't really change that much. So I'm probably just going to be who I am.
But they don't know about the DVDs, right?
Right. Yeah, or the shoes.
You don't bring that up.
Or the shoes.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
No. Or the wrestling things.
Okay,
no,
good.
They know.
How was your dad back in the day, Allie, when you would bring home a boy for them to meet? Was he cool or was he knives out?
He was dead silent.
Just didn't say a word.
Dead silent.
Was he staring daggers at the guy?
Nope, just dead silent.
Nothing.
Like every now and then he'd say a couple words, but yeah, I'll never forget bringing my boyfriend at the time home for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I think
that's
my dad said like maybe 10 words in 5 days. And I was like, oh,
really?
He hates him.
Did that mean he hated him? Or
oh,
just,
yeah. No, it definitely did. Okay. It definitely did. And he was correct in that assumption.
You should have listened to Dad.
I really should have on that one. But there are times. And then I have other guy friends, like one guy friend of mine that my dad is convinced I should marry, mm-hmm. who this guy comes over and he's just like, Ryan, hey, I'm like,
so happy to see him.
He's like, rolling out a red carpet fast.
It's insane to me.
Putting down rose petals.
Yeah, it's insane.
My wife had the most pressure-filled meeting of my parents because we met and married in California mm-hmm. before my parents living in Maryland even knew I was dating anyone.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the move. You're setting her up to fail.
Yes.
So we did what you did, Allie, which was flew east for Thanksgiving,
uh-huh.
or as you would say, Thanksgiving.
Yes, mm-hmm. like,
and
correct
so the first time she ever met my parents was at Thanksgiving, and we were already married. So, I mean, it was
Were they angry that you already got married and didn't tell them?
Yes.
Like, how could you not?
Was Donna nervous?
Because of course she's going there with Bean.
Right. Yeah, she's going there with her husband to meet his parents.
Well, there's no human way that his
I'd like
parents,
to talk about 7-Eleven.
Yeah, there's no way his parents could be weirder than him. So it's like she's already indebted.
My mom also had somebody picked out for me that she wanted me to marry.
Oh.
And she essentially wouldn't talk to Donna at Thanksgiving the first hour.
Wow, Donna's so much better than whoever your mom picked.
Yeah, I think so too.
Wow.
But it was very awkward, but it ended up working out fine. But I'm thinking back as I read this article in the paper today, I'm thinking back to how uncomfortable it can be to meet your potential in-laws if you're dating in a situation. Here's a woman in the paper named Alicia Stubley. She's from North Yorkshire in England. And she was in the exact same situation we're discussing. She had a longtime boyfriend that had not met her parents yet, so they went around for tea. She says in the article, her boyfriend's name is Andy, meeting her family for the first time. And at the table, her father pulls out a laminated list.
Laminated?
What? Son-in-law material. Son-in-law material. He mm-hmm. has a questionnaire prepared for questions for Andy.
He didn't just sketch it out because he knew Andy was coming over? He had it laminated.
He had it laminated.
What?
So now this has to feel like a job interview, right? This has to be the panic you feel when they say, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Which, by the way, is question one on the son-in-law sure. material list. Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? You don't do that kind of a homework to prepare for tea with your girlfriend's parents, do you?
No, maybe, of course not.
I mean, I guess he's looking to see if he's suitable. All right, so that's question one. Number two, what qualities do you see in my daughter that makes you think she would make a good wife?
Fantastic Ooh. Rack. Right? That's the answer.
I don't think that goes over well.
Now, Jensen, you probably would have been able to answer that because it's easy to figure out things about your girlfriend that you like, right?
Yeah.
How would you answer this? What are your intentions with my daughter?
Banging?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Kevin, will never date
gonna,
again.
You are going to fail this quiz, my friend.
Bad for you. I'm really excited to get to know her better, and I feel like we have so much in common.
Uh-huh. No,
I would just be as honest as possible and just say, you know, I'm really excited to get to know her more.
You wouldn't even bring up butt stuff.
No, would not.
Okay.
No.
Question number four, boyfriend quiz. How well can you provide for a wife and family?
I'm hoping she supports me.
Kevin,
that's my
answer. Never date.
What?
This
ever.
Is awful.
Number five, the greatest question ever for an older man that you've just met and you're dating his daughter. What is your history with pornography?
What?
Oh my
gosh. That was on the laminated list?
Yes.
Enjoy it. How about you?
No,
what
that seems like the wrong answer as well.
With pornography. What,
wow.
What is Andy supposed to say to that?
Have you seen my movies? All nervous and scared.
What is he supposed to say to that? Because the dad asks it because he's hoping there's no history with pornography, which is ridiculous.
Then he knows he's lying.
Yeah.
So do you want to be a liar? There's no good answer.
There's no good answer. Yep. Question number six. Are there any activities you two enjoy doing together? Kevin, I'll let you handle that banging. Okay. Number seven. Do you have a temper? And this is where you should scream, hell no, and then like turn over the table, right?
Right.
I mean, that's a good question, but I don't know that anyone in that situation is going to own up to it in that situation.
Yeah, of course, you're not going to say to your girlfriend's
I really fly off the handle a lot.
I can't stop hitting women in the face, Dan. I don't know what to tell you.
However, they're asking for it.
Question number 8. How many women have you been with before my daughter?
Over 100, I stopped counting.
I would leave at this point.
Because that's not even a conversation he may have had with his girlfriend.
Yeah. At some point, you've got to say, sir, this is inappropriate, and this is something I should discuss with your daughter. And then what if he was like, that's correct, check, and goes on to the next question.
Nice.
Bean, do we know if this guy passed the quiz at the end of it or not?
He did. He did pass the quiz, yes. Right. Last question, and this is, I think, my favorite of all. Number 9. Will you be prepared to look after my beehive when I go on a holiday?
Wait, hold up.
Question
is that
9.
His nickname for his daughter?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
He has a beehive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's a beekeeper.
Yes, he wants to make sure that his daughter's new boyfriend is going to be prepared to look after the beehive when he takes a vacation.
I like how all the other questions are in interest of his daughter, and this is purely selfish.
Well, yeah, yes. I mean, he needs someone to look over the bees. They're
not
going to take care of themselves.
You failed. I'm sorry to say you won't be seeing my daughter again, but Andy's walking.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51. Did I ever tell you about the time I interviewed Beck? My first time.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have any idea what I was doing. For some reason, Bean wasn't there for this part, and I interviewed Beck. And I didn't understand what he was talking about.
Right.
Because he's sort of a weird genius type guy who I love. But at the time, I was a little frightened by because I couldn't make sense of his answers.
Right.
And I walked out and I was like, I'm not cut out for this. I should have known what he was talking about, but I have no idea.
You didn't speak back.
No, not at all. Since we've talked to him many times, and I think he's really like a creative genius.
Sure.
But still a wacky. Little wacky.
He is a little wacky. Yes. First time we brought him on stage at a weenie roast, Allie, would have been 26 years ago or something like that, right after Loser came out. And he was just a scared little teenager walking out on that stage. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a huge crowd for him to be playing in front of at that point in his career. He was brand new to success with that song that he pretty much made in his bedroom. And it's so amazing to have seen the consummate performer that he has evolved into since then. I mean, he's a guy who comes out there and just dominates, just owns the stage now. You know, he's so great. But everyone starts somewhere. So welcome to Beck Memories here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Wasn't aware this was a feature, but now we're on the topic.
Just became one.
I'm extremely excited to see him at Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah, he's great.
Yes, he's going to be amazing.
Haven't seen him live in many years.
6:53. Allie is here. Time for another look at what's happening on a Tuesday.
So Harry Styles announced on his Twitter, my album is called Fine Line.
Yay!
It's going to be out December 13th. And people lost their minds because, I mean, we all agreed. Harry Styles' first album is amazing.
It was amazing.
His self-titled first album is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So people are very excited about Fine Line and knowing it's going to be released on December 13th. Well, he has just announced that he's going to play a one-night-only show at the Forum here in Los Angeles on the same day that Fine Line is released on December 13th.
Oh, wow.
Pre-sale tickets will be available on November 7th. I am pumped. December 13th is a Friday, you guys. Harry Styles.
That's a good deal.
Did anyone else go see him last tour?
Hollywood Bowl, yeah.
I went. It was very good. I saw him at the Greek.
Oh, the Greek. Yeah. I always get my outdoor ones confused. That's sad.
It was
the Greek
very good.
Is what kind of venue, Allie?
It's outdoor.
Yeah, but
it's
a certain kind of theater, though. I'm just trying to.
Sky right above you with the
what's
stars.
What's it called, though?
It is
Greek.
Gorgeous amphitheater.
Yay!
Wait, really?
She did it!
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Wow. I did it real quick, thinking maybe if I messed up, you wouldn't notice. Okay.
I think you nailed it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now you have to leave, Bean. She got it.
That's it.
Work is done here.
That's the last thing you were waiting for.
Honestly, but how is there no L in it?
Amphitheater?
Amphitheater makes so much more sense.
Not at all. No. Not even a bit.
Because you're amplifying the...
Nope.
Okay.
Well, that is huge news for Harry Styles fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think Stevie Nicks will be there like she so often is?
They have such a cute relationship.
They do.
I love it. I love it.
Did you know about another one-night show last night that you missed out?
Last night, Hootie and the Blowfish
at the Troubadour.
Absolutely.
How'd you miss out on that?
I knew about it, and I had tickets, but No.
Wow.
Not going to happen.
And I had tickets, but
also,
no.
Hootie, shout-outs to my friend at the Ellen Show that invited me to see them on Ellen yesterday. Couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I'm very busy, you guys.
It's happening.
And he's on Jimmy Kimmel tonight.
You could easily have went to that.
See, I keep calling Hootie a he. The band is going to be on Jimmy Kimmel tonight.
You love Darius Rucker so much. Why are you avoiding them while they're in town doing all these things you could be at?
I'm very busy.
You're not that busy for your future husband.
I went to bed at 6:30 last night.
You got to make a little bit of effort if you're going to make this thing happen.
Wait, say that again?
I was so... Something is wrong. I think I need to be tested for mono again because I physically could not keep my eyes open yesterday.
Well, all weekend you were
all weekend I was
sick.
Just were, dead asleep. It was awful. So yesterday I was like, yeah, I'm not going to the Troubadour. I can't. And I thought, maybe just lay on your bed and see where it takes you.
Mm-hmm. Where did you think it would take you? To the Troubadour?
3:45.
How does that work?
3:45 a.m. my alarm went off and I was like, holy crap.
Wow.
Yeah. I was out of it. But I'm sure they were great last night at the Troubadour. They were playing all their new songs from their new album, Imperfect Circle, that just came out Friday. Oh, my God. I have so much Hootie knowledge.
Yeah. But why? I mean, if you're going to marry Darius Rucker, I feel like it's your move at this point.
Thank
I don't
you.
Think like
Thank
you can
you.
Be waiting for him to show up at your apartment.
You don't know that.
Okay.
Right?
No, not right.
Can you imagine? That would be so
weird. Why
didn't
you come to any of my shows?
How are you even here?
This is too small of a show.
So bizarre. He's just on my porch with the guitar. Oh, that would be nice. Anyway, let's talk about Krispy Kreme, you guys.
Yes, please.
There have been no Krispy Kremes in Minnesota for 11 years. So a 21-year-old man named Jason Gonzalez thought, oh, I'm just going to drive 270 miles to a location in Iowa, pack up my car, and have a little side business. He goes to Iowa, packs up his car with up to 100 boxes.
Wow.
What?
Then drives back to deliver it to customers in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Oh,
he charges
resell.
17 to 20 bucks per box, and some of his customers spent nearly $100 each time.
Genius.
Less than a week after the St. Paul Pioneer Press newspaper reported on this money-making endeavor, they call it a scheme in this article, I say endeavor, Gonzalez received a phone call from Krispy Kreme's Nebraska office telling him to stop. The senior studying accounting at a college in St. Paul said he was told that his sales created a liability for the North Carolina-based company. In a statement Sunday night, Krispy Kreme said it's looking into the matter. No. This is a great man, this Jason Gonzalez.
I agree, but if you're the company, you don't know that this man is a great man. You don't know that he's not doing anything to the donut. You know, they're liable.
Doing anything to the donut?
Yeah.
Oh, he's thinking.
No, I wasn't thinking that.
You were thinking a different glaze. Kevin, yeah, you were. Because you were thinking, how could I make this story gross and not about an entrepreneur?
Thanks, horny little grandpa.
If the guy was playing ring toss, that's what you were watching.
He's even worse.
I wasn't, but I wish I was because that's even better.
Okay,
let's stop and think about this for a second. If I buy something in America... if it's a lawnmower at Walmart or if it's a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts, I feel like I have the right to resell
that.
But are you reselling it as Krispy Kreme donuts?
You're selling it as, hey, I went up to wherever this was, Iowa, picked up these donuts. You want some? Throw in it. He can now say he's not reselling them. He could say donate to charity. The accepted price is $20.
And charity is me.
I think he should be allowed to resell them, though. I don't think he should have to use euphemisms.
He can't do that with food.
He can't open another Krispy Kreme. Like, you can't... Basically, you can't have people confused that he's a Krispy Kreme.
Well, I don't think they are, because they're coming from his trunk.
Yeah, they know what he did. They know he drove out of
his own place.
I'm not sure you can get food and then
also,
sell it out of your trunk.
Also, if someone sells you a donut out of his trunk,
it's on you.
That's on you.
Yeah, I agree.
Exactly. Here's the thing, Krispy Kreme. Open up in St. Paul. They're obviously asking
There's a demand,
for one. There's a demand. But I also say Jason Gonzalez... Congrats, because I would want to hire you immediately after reading this story.
Yeah, he is a hero.
Jason 2020, right?
Jason 2020.
Right.
Thank you.
I'm team Jason here. I really am. I don't think Krispy Kreme has a case. I really don't.
We have ruled, Jason. You're fine. Keep doing it.
Keep doing what you're doing.
All right. Some birthdays for you. The DJ Flume, Kevin Jonas, Odell Beckham Jr., Tilda Swinton, Bill Walton, and Sam Rockwell. Again,
It's Michael Jackson in the background.
That's the singer Rockwell. This is actor Sam Rockwell.
He acted too?
There's two different people, Kevin.
Oh. I guess he was right. Yeah. People were watching him.
Quick reminder, tickets are on sale right now for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas with Beck and Cage the Elephant, Jimmy Eat World, Young the Giant, Angels and Airwaves, and more. Tickets are going on sale for the pre-sale for K-Rock Street Team members for night number two, Thursday at 10 a.m. And that's your Mumford & Sons, 21 Pilots, 1975 Rockin' Tours, and more. You can get all the information. Make sure you get your password ready to go on Thursday at krock.com. And keep standing by for chances to win those tickets, because as we get a little bit closer, we'll be giving them away as well here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You know what I've noticed? People are dumb. First story comes out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. A student at the University of Alabama is in jail after police say he made threats to LSU's Tiger Stadium. Freshman Connor Bruce Kroll, 19 years old, is suspected of calling in a bomb threat at Tiger Stadium during Saturday's game against the University of Florida. Police say he admitted to calling in the bomb threat, saying that he wanted to stop the game because... What are your guesses?
They were behind.
He doesn't like jocks.
Okay, mm-hmm. Bean.
I agree with Allie. I think you want to stop the game because you're afraid your team's going
to
lose.
He wanted to stop the game because, quote, his friend was on the verge of losing a large bet.
Oh no! I mean, that's a good wingman,
dude. I've got you.
No
kidding. So he calls. He's being held in Tuscaloosa without bond and is expected to face charges in Baton Rouge, which include making a false bomb threat on school property.
Wow. So he's in Alabama. The game is either in Louisiana or Florida, but his friend is at the game. So he calls in the bomb threat from where he is. He's not even at the game. Wow.
Correct.
That guy is really looking out for his buddy,
right?
Man.
Good I friend. Say good on him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let him go. That's the kind of friendship everyone's looking
Let
for.
Let him go.
Yes.
I'm not sure I'd go that far.
No,
Next story comes out of Illinois. A man was arrested after allegedly giving police a fake name, despite having his real name tattooed on his neck.
They'll never know.
Matthew Brushman, 36, supposedly gave a false ID and birth certificate to officers. Who has a fake birth certificate with them?
Criminals.
That's a great question.
Yeah, absolute criminals.
Authorities said that Bushman, or Matty B, as it said right across his neck, had a warrant out for his arrest in Peoria County, and so he lied about his name. He was arrested on October 11th for obstructing justice, and he was booked at the Coles County Jail.
Now, I don't know who Matty B is, officer. I know what you're talking about. Tattoo on my neck? I've never heard that name before in my life.
I never got a tattoo on my neck. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's my friend. I'm willing to do anything for him. I called in the LSU game for him.
A man drives him by himself in a stolen car to take his driving test. This story comes out of the UK, Bean.
Oh.
The man drove to take his driving test and then took the driving test and failed it for the 10th time.
By the way, this is giving me anxiety because I'm going to be taking my UK driving test very, very soon. So I hope it's not hard.
What? You drive on the wrong side of the road. That's the first five.
Right.
We might have to do the topic of how many times did you fail your driving test.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I failed the first time. I had to take it twice.
Really?
Yep.
That doesn't sound very Bean-like.
No.
I, at the time, could not parallel park, and you had to do that back
time,
then
that was important.
On the test.
Really?
But I am the world's greatest parallel parker now.
Now that no one cares.
Now that no one cares. Right,
exactly. I want the record to show that Dave is letting us know he failed three times.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, we're going to have to do
was
that
Was it
topic.
Raining, and he couldn't put his windshield wipers on?
This guy failed his test for the 10th time, and then the police noticed, the car that he drove here in by himself is stolen.
Oh, man.
So they arrested him on suspicion of stealing the car, and he's being held without bail as well. This one comes out of Wilson, North Carolina. Officers stopped a vehicle on October 5th at the Food Mart. The authorities got out of the car. They approached the car that they had pulled over, and the car that they pulled over took off. And the officers chased the vehicle for about 2 miles before the driver of a black Ford Taurus with the blue lights on top pinned the suspect vehicle between it and the police car. So now this guy stops the car that's running away.
Sure.
The driver of the Taurus, David Adams, 30, pulled out a gun.
Oh.
Ordered the driver of the suspect vehicle out of the car. Adams then handcuffed the suspect and began searching him.
Okay. This is just a random dude?
Then the police said, hey, stop. And they checked into it, and the cops arrested Adams for determining that he was not a police officer. Okay? He's just helping.
He's a vigilante.
And he had handcuffs?
He had handcuffs.
I mean.
He pulled the gun, and he handcuffed him and started searching him. And the police are like, hey, do you know that guy? No, I don't know that guy. He's not a police officer.
That's like how citizens arrest. Became a cop. Yeah, just one day you just put on an outfit. You're like, I'm a cop now.
Outfit. A Florida man, Joseph Benick, 24, was arrested Saturday on multiple charges after police say he vandalized a local business. There's two businesses named in this story. The guy does not work at either of them. Mm-hmm. Benick had driven a forklift from United Plumbing. So first he broke into United Plumbing. He got a forklift and he drove it to the neighboring business, iMold. And he started to break down the property's fence. Once inside, he took out a hammer and started smashing office and car windows with the hammer. Hmm. Benick then returned to United Plumbing, the first place, took off all his clothes and jumped in the shower.
Huh. Okay, he was just testing it out.
I guess. I don't know whether... did they have a shower?
Probably to show, like, water pressure, that type of thing, for a plumbing supply.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah. From there, the man completely naked grabbed his hammer and started smashing windows in that business.
Is that a euphemism?
Nope.
Okay.
No, grabbing his hammer? No, it's not. An employee at United Plumbing heard several bangs that came out of the office and found him, quote, standing in the warehouse with a hammer in his hand.
Again.
Court records show that Benick faces several charges, including burglary, grand theft, and criminal mischief.
Good Did Lord. We ever find out why he was smashing up these businesses?
No idea.
Not at all.
Naked with a hammer?
Yep, naked with a hammer.
I'm going to guess drugs.
That's just a Wednesday night Florida. In Florida, I guess.
In Florida, so it's has to be bath salts, right?
Yeah.
And finally, man tries to steal a flute by sticking it down the back of his pants.
Oh, dear.
Here's the story.
This is a flute.
Shoplifter used a rather strange tactic as he attempted to make off with some merchandise. NBC 15's Tim Elliott shows us how the crime caught on camera might crack you up.
Oh, the crime might crack
because he stuck it down the back of his pants.
Right. Crack.
So she says, crack you up. Right. You get it?
Right.
Yeah.
Surveillance video catches the cheeky thief.
Oh, cheeky.
Twice.
You're a loser.
Come on now.
In the act, you can see the massive flute down his pants and running up his back.
Again, here's the owner of the store.
That was shocking. That part, I just actually couldn't help but laugh about it.
Tony Farrell is the owner of Voight Music Center on Main Street in downtown Janesville.
The flute was actually right here next to a couple of other flutes.
He says on Friday, this man milled around the store for a bit before making a beeline for the flute.
Well, like, by the way, they weren't down his pants. He was showing them where the flutes were.
It was right here by a couple of other flutes.
It's a music store. I don't know. But the guy grabs it and walks it.
Truly a detailed man.
Right. By these other flutes. It's
right here by these other flutes. You'd be surprised to hear they're near the other flutes.
So the surveillance video shows him walking around with it in his hand.
Took it right off the wall and walked right over here with it in his hand.
You can see him carrying the flute, but then...
went right behind where a camera is and put it down the back of his pants. It was just so ridiculous.
By the way, I just want to point out that it was so visible, it's comical.
Yeah.
Because it was like 2.5 feet.
Yeah.
So the bottom part of it was sticking out the back of his pants.
Oh.
And then the top part of it had moved his shirt and coat
He
up.
Didn't even put his shirt over it.
Right. So you can just, you can see.
Like a tent.
Yes. It was absurd.
Just would not expect somebody to be so... well, stupid.
I like it when they call you stupid.
Says the guy who told us the flutes were over there near the flutes.
Near the flutes.
Farrell's mother confronted the would-be thief before he could walk out the door.
All right, so she comes up to him and she says, dude, flute in your pants, what's up? Mm-hmm. What does he say? What's his excuse?
I'm just happy to see you.
Okay.
All right.
Allie?
I really want my kid to play the flute, and I can't afford it, so I'm stealing it and shoving it down my pants.
You made a really sad story
out
of this.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Even if that's the case, do you want to play a flute to shove down your pants?
Here's what I'm going to say.
Yes, Pete.
You think you're impressed now. Wait till I start playing it with my butt.
That's a better ending, but only by a little bit.
Oh, I've got a flute, and that's where I keep my flutes.
Wait, what?
He said he came into the store,
uh-huh.
and he has flutes, and that's where he keeps them. So he came into the actual store.
He already had that flute.
Yes, it was his flute that he already had.
Oh. Did not see that coming.
And that's where he keeps them in general, just all the time, just in case.
And so she pulled it right out of his pants and said, oh, you keep your flutes with our tag on it in the back of your pants?
The man got away empty-handed, but now Farrell had this soiled glute flute on his hands.
Oh.
Glute flute.
Soiled. Why? Glute soiled.
Flute. I couldn't, in good conscience, have anybody ever put their lips to that instrument.
He's way better than I am, because I would have put that on sale.
The butt flute.
And that's when Farrell got this bright idea.
Hey, what the heck? Let's make something good out of it.
He turned the instrument into this beautiful lamp.
We've had lots of dumb criminals before.
What is going on?
He took the flute.
This story has everything.
He took the glute flute, and then he made a lamp out of it.
Why?
Because he couldn't sell it to anybody because it had
butt on it.
Does he at any point say, I keep it here with my other lamps?
Usually gotten caught doing stupid things, but... No, this is the best.
This is the
pretty
best.
Pretty judgmental for a guy who's working at a flute shop, by the way.
Yeah. Too much.
Too much.
And that's... Talk about... you okay?
I honestly don't know what else
better.
To do.
No, it's better that you're pushing that, but it also comes through our mics that are open. So you can only do so
okay,
much.
Okay, so here's pressing the cough button.
Right.
Here's not.
Right, way better pushing
okay,
the cough button.
Okay.
But it still comes through our microphone.
Turn around, too. You can turn around and cough the other direction, too.
I turned away from the mic.
Or you can give us some kind of signal and we can all turn off our microphones.
Oh, my God.
I could also get you a cough blanket so that
blanket.
When you're about to cough, you smother yourself in the face and then we won't hear it.
Did you just invent a cough blanket?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm also looking to suffocate you.
Yeah, I hear that.
Real quick, you guys, because we were talking about failing your driver's test.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. Hey, guys. I failed my driving test a couple of years ago because I missed a question about what year cars were made with seatbelts in the back seat. Do you know that they asked you the history of safety procedures on cars?
So dumb.
No.
The guy in front of me passed the test, and then he went to get his picture taken for his license. There was the camera, then a blue screen. The man stood behind the blue screen, looked at the screen, then smiled for his picture. They had to come and move the guy in front of the screen, yet he's allowed to drive, and I'm not.
Love it.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Sarah, for that.
Oh,
hope you
Sarah.
Went back and took it again, but that's funny. All right, a lot of good stuff still to come, including our friend Jimmy Pardo on the program today. Plus, you got something stuck in your body. But first, Allie, you saw something yesterday that is was kind of some big medical news if this pans out. But we know very few details about this magic pill.
Yeah, the story I read was if you could take a pill to erase bad memories, would you? And I was like, how would that even happen?
Yeah, great question.
So I did a little bit of research, and I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of big words, a lot of sciencey stuff, mm-hmm. a lot of psychological stuff.
No good.
It was too
so we
much.
Don't know. Okay,
but here's the thing: 60 people signed up for Dr. Alan Brunet's memory manipulation study, and here's the thing: they all had the same trauma. That trauma was betrayal. So for some, it was infidelity. For others, it was abandonment. Their parent left them, that type
okay.
of thing. So in cold clinical terms, his patients were suffering from an adjustment disorder due to the termination, not of their choosing, of a relationship, okay. whether it was romantic or whether it was parental.
This okay. is clearly the plot line of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, just so it's out there as well.
It's similar.
Okay.
But Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind just erases all your memories.
Okay.
This goes right into these specific ones.
Specific but bad ones.
Specific
That's
but bad.
Bizarre.
They want them to lose their total recall to deliberately forget these specific
okay,
memories.
This is the plot line of Total Recall, another movie.
Over 4 to 6 sessions, volunteers read aloud from a typed script that they had composed themselves, a first-person account of the breakup or the person leaving, mm-hmm. and wrote as many emotional details as possible. This was all while under the influence of a common and inexpensive blood pressure pill called propranolol.
Close enough for us.
Nailed
probably
it. Nailed it.
Probably okay. wrong. But the idea was to purposely reactivate that memory, bring it back into existence, stinging existence, if you will, again. And then they were asked, how did you feel about that? How are you feeling right now? has your memory changed from the last time we talked about this? So over 4 to 6 sessions, they're doing this same thing. And they found that over 4 to 6 sessions, your memory reactivation under that would blunt those memories. So every single time you would then read that same script that you had read the first time, it would, you would react to it less and less.
You would feel less and less.
It would hurt less and less.
Wow.
And the study's complete. The guy is not revealing the results yet, but it's been sent to peer review for publication.
Or did he reveal them, but we forgot them?
However, the participants couldn't believe that they did so much in such a short amount of time. They were able to turn the page. What they would tell this reporter was, I feel like I've turned the page. I'm no longer obsessed by this person or this relationship.
Interesting.
So this doctor is very clear saying, listen, I'm not trying to delete or scrub out painful memories entirely. That's not my thing.
Right.
I just want to target specific ones.
How can... Wow, that's crazy medically that you could...
Absolutely.
So he's not going to erase all bad memories.
No.
Just the ones you want?
Just specific ones that you want to work on.
Wow.
And he said this could potentially be huge for people with PTSD.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
You
go to those specific memories, you work through those, and eventually it doesn't affect you the same way that it did.
So
it's amazing, you guys.
Would you do it?
If it got to the point where you could erase specific hurtful memories, I think in a case of like
that
very
kind of trauma?
Traumatic PTSD, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Like a wartime kind of thing? Because
a
relationship.
But I also think a relationship, no, because those specific memories help you to not make those same mistakes.
Well, right. let me read this email from listener Erica, who's following along. Dear Kevin and Bean, I would not take this pill. I have grown and learned so much from my bad experiences. Yes. I got divorced 2 years ago, and it was shocking and painful. However, I'm truly different, and I think a better person because of the experience. I'm a much better mom, teacher, friend, sister, daughter, everything. My bad memories remind me to be thankful for who I am and what I have.
Amen. Learning doesn't occur without memory, without remembering, oh no, if I do this, here's what's going to happen. You need that.
Hear me out.
But
though.
In specific instances of really traumatic things,
hear me out.
I think it would be helpful to people.
Yes.
What if, I mean, you know, Thursday, he's gone forever.
Right.
It's going to be hard for a lot of us. What if we just came on, you know, Monday, we were there the next time, and no
clue
Bean.
Who Bean was.
No
what are you talking about?
No idea.
There was another guy.
Gene Baxter.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Guys, I'm still here. I can hear
R.I.P. Bean.
R.I.P. Bean. But who is Bean also?
Yeah, exactly.
Who is that? I don't even know.
No idea.
I don't even know who died.
That Kevin Ann show is very good.
I got to tell you, behind the scenes, one of the funny things that is going on right now, this is Bean speaking, and as many of you know by now, my last day on the Kevin Bean show is Thursday. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, kind of been in the back of our minds, and it's come up a bunch, and it's kind of been the focus, but every time it does, Jensen says, yeah, but don't forget my birthday is Friday. I mean, I know this thing is happening on Thursday and stuff, but you know,
well,
I
think it's rude that you're taking the gusto out of my 40th.
Right.
I can't even celebrate it here.
It's a big anniversary because, you know, Jensen has very specific rules about mm-hmm. which birthdays you're allowed to celebrate. And if you're a grown-ass man, being 39 is not a thing.
No,
as
you know, every birthday through 16, we skip 17. 18 is a birthday we celebrate. 20, 21, 30. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and 100.
Okay, so this is not 90?
No, we skipped 90.
Seems weird.
That's
okay.
I think it's too many, so I took
one out. Your birthday on Friday is, I mean, doing the math now, is the only birthday, you know, is the only birthday for 10 years that
yes.
you can celebrate, so I'm ruining it by leaving the day before.
Yes, I'm the Farrah Fawcett to your Michael Jackson.
Exactly. By the way, Bean told me that he was leaving because of that.
No, I know. He picked it out of the calendar. Uh-huh. Yeah. He said, when's your birthday? I said the 8th. He said, I'm leaving the 7th.
Yeah.
To take away all of the fire
that, was his goal.
That I need, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry to ruin your birthday month.
And by the way, to take away Bean's fire, I'm going to quit on Wednesday.
Okay, thank
wow.
you. Thank you.
This is huge news.
So, and that's not the only birthday turmoil in your life right mm-hmm. now, Jensen.
Yeah, well, my mom, we all know her as Haroldine. We could mm-hmm. understand how much pressure and tension she has on herself in order to get me a important 40th birthday party, but birthday present.
I'm sure you've had the conversation, hey, Mom, I don't care that much. You don't have to get me anything.
Oh, my God. I'm almost saying, please don't give me anything. Yeah, yeah. I don't need another thing.
Right.
Yeah.
The house already has too many things with a new baby in my life. So I'm saying to myself, just don't forget it. Just come and have a good time and hang out with me or whatever on my 40th birthday. But
she's like, no, I don't really want to do that.
Right, right. Saying, please, I'm not looking to be tortured.
Can I send a gift and not see you, son?
Right. So she has put a little bit of pressure on me to say, get something that means something to you. I don't want it to be just a pair of sneakers or Blu-rays or whatever.
And you're like, hey, those mean something to me, Mom.
Those are the two most important things in my life. And so we've hit a sort of dead end on this.
An impasse.
To what it could be, yeah. And also it puts you in a weird position where you're like, how much do you want to spend?
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing to ask anyone, let alone your mom.
Yeah.
Mom, how much are you looking to spend on me?
Give me a ballpark.
Give me a range of what you want to spend.
It seems a little low, Mom.
Yeah, it feels dumb.
I'll say this about shopping for men, it is so hard because either you get a watch or cufflinks. Mm-hmm.
Or sleeping socks.
Or sleeping socks. Right. It isn't easy.
It's not easy. I am an easy person to shop for with sneakers, Blu-rays, whatever. I have the same hats. I have the same 10 things. But when it comes to something special and important, I guess maybe I just don't have special and important things.
Oh, that's sad. Aww. What did you tell her?
Well, we've talked about this is even worse because I said, I want a new laptop.
Okay.
Because I have an older laptop. And I said,
that can be relatively expensive.
Well, very. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, $1,200 to $1,600.
I'm not going to. Mommy, I want a new laptop. Mommy, buy me things.
I'm not asking her
for
that.
It means impressions. Sounds like it.
What I was saying is it that you want to contribute to it and put some money into it and then I'll pay for the rest or whatever, which also feels awful, like I'm a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of a moment where we're both like, I guess, you know.
So she's co-signing your laptop, basically.
Yeah, it feels awful. So I don't know. There's no, I thought about a nice jacket, but I have enough jackets. I have enough shoes for an army.
Yeah.
So
I can't help you with this, Jensen, because I'm not a believer in birthdays at all. Mm-hmm. And I especially think I kind of agree with you. You're a grown ass man.
Exactly.
You don't need anybody to get you anything.
But it's very hard to convince your mom to not get you a 40th birthday present, which I can also see.
It's a big deal for her.
Exactly. Which I can also see.
Yeah. Are you having the same problem with your wife as well?
No. I think we just figured it out. That was easy. She's got me a beautiful watch. No, a beautiful watch.
Oh, well, watch. I mean, a watch.
Yes.
Okay. I hope you would be able to say to your mom, it's my wish that you don't get me anything.
I don't think that works though with a mom.
It
doesn't
work
with
moms.
Not with a mom. I don't think so.
What about a
you should ask someone who has a mom, B.
A nice mother-son, dinner or something. Just the two of you.
Well, then she'll say, I would get you that anyway. That's not a present.
That's true.
So
what about mother-son massages?
Well,
a nice
is that
spa
a thing?
Day. I don't know. I just made it one, and now
I'm like
freaked
it.
Out by it. I take it back.
I'd like to set up a massage for myself and my 40-year-old son, if that's cool.
Okay. I take it back.
Same
I
room.
Take it back. It's weird.
Also, can I get the tables near each other so we can hold hands?
And some romantic music, if you don't mind.
Yeah. If you might turn the lights down.
I was wrong.
And the honeymoon suite.
Yeah, the honeymoon suite. I don't know. I don't know what to ask. I don't know what to ask for.
Well, anything would be better than Allie suggested.
It's very true.
Why don't you just tell her to not get you anything and then the next day to get you the pill that will make you forget that she didn't give you
or
anything.
Or forget that Allie suggested we get a massage together.
Good point.
You need 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
You know how sometimes you'll see a headline of a news story and you'll go, oh, yeah, that happened to me. I totally get that. I relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Man had tweezers lodged in his urethra for 4 years.
What?
That is a thing that happened, and we'll be talking about what you had stuck inside your body coming up right after 8 here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Tuesday morning, Allie is here. First, it's time for What's Happening.
What was he? Well, he probably wasn't tweezing anything.
No.
Okay, never mind. Never mind. I just...
In his hip.
By the way, he was 22.
Oh.
So he was just 18 when he put those tweezers in there.
I don't...
Too embarrassed to admit it.
Do we need to do the segment?
We don't have to do anything.
I feel like
it's always
we
funny.
It.
I think we need to because You guys still don't believe that one time that I fell onto the vacuum cleaner hose?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I slipped. It was nothing intentional.
Right.
It just sometimes you just fall, and that's what happens. It just gets lodged in your butt.
Right?
Yeah, I get it.
And I think that a lot of bad things like that have happened to other people. I think we need to give them the opportunity to explain.
But you fall so much. Yeah, like when you fell in the shower on that shampoo bottle.
I did.
That got lodged up
very
there.
Very unfortunate.
And the Cuisinart, which I don't even understand why you were naked in the kitchen.
Thank God it was off.
Thank God it was off.
I'm just saying, don't judge until it happens to you. Okay?
And also the lawnmower, the blower guy, like what was he doing near you
that
when
was
you
strange.
Were
naked? It was strange.
I can't, I mean, look, I can't explain. So just, I have a weird history with things falling into my butt.
Get that.
Just happens. Just happens.
Guys, if you were anywhere near the internet yesterday, you know that Keanu Reeves was photographed holding hands with someone on a red carpet. Turns out it's his longtime friend, an artist named Alexandra Grant.
Is it Brenny?
Nope, it's Alexandra Grant. People reports that the pair has stayed close. Or stayed close as they posed for photos on the red carpet at the LACMA Art and Film Gala in Los Angeles. And then people were like, wait a minute, he's known her forever because she worked on his first book with him. And people started like going into all the details. And there are tons of pictures of him and Alexandra Grant together over
Heimer?
The years. Again, it's Alexandra
Heimer.
Grant. Mm-hmm. And now people are saying this is his first public girlfriend in decades. Here's why people were freaking out. Because she is 46 years old.
Right.
And he's 55.
Isn't that good?
That's great.
And it's age wonderful. Yeah. It's age appropriate, which also, it was very funny that people are like, that's age appropriate. She's still 46 and he's 55. But in Hollywood, my God, she's ancient.
But I don't think you're necessarily, I don't think you can be accused of trolling for a young woman if you end up with someone who's nine.
No.
Like my wife and I are 8 years apart.
I mean,
it's reasonable.
It depends on where you are in your life. If you're 26, it makes a big difference.
True. The age does.
But if you're 50s, whatever.
I think we'll allow 9 years, though, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, my parents were 11, so we better.
And it also, people always freak out when they then find out Keanu Reeves is 55.
Yeah, he doesn't look 55.
Shocking.
Yeah.
But yeah, people were losing their minds yesterday. Like, oh, another reason to love Keanu. He likes women that are age appropriate. Like, that's how far we have dropped as a people. Because dudes in L.A., and all over the world, I won't just say dudes in L.A., but they tend to go for 20-year-olds.
Well, celebrities certainly do.
Yeah. And she's also not, like, Hollywood celebrity looking. She's very attractive, but she looks natural, and she doesn't look like she'd be in movies or TV.
Yeah.
And I think when people see celebrities with more, you know, I guess,
normals.
Bystander.
They don't want to see them
normies,
with normals.
When they see them with normies, it's always like, oh, that's a nice, he's into her personality, they think.
Jensen just shimmied when he said that, and I can't really take it. But yeah, it was very interesting to see, though, women falling all over themselves to compliment a man that finally is dating someone close to his age. It was very funny to me. And by funny, come on, dudes. You're Dennis Quaid. Let's talk about you. All right?
Yeah.
You're dating a fetus.
That's
it's
his granddaughter's
weird
age,
and
right?
Creepy.
Yeah. That would be as if a person I end up dating is married today. I'm sorry, is born today. Jeez.
Yeah.
Is born today. That's exactly the difference between Dennis Quaid and his
fiance.
His new fiance.
It's born today.
Yeah.
Listen, they probably talk about a lot of amazing things.
Yeah.
But congratulations to Keanu for what appears to be his first relationship in the public.
I think we all want Keanu Reeves to be happy, though.
Oh, everyone
we're glad
wants
for
Keanu
him.
To be happy.
You know what's
so
sad,
glad
Keanu?
You dig me.
Sad Keanu sitting on a bench?
No.
Is it a toilet baby?
It's a weird thing to say.
Excellent!
All right, it is excellent. So, guys, Lorde's new album may arrive later than expected due to her beloved dog passing away. She talked to fans saying, Pearl came into my life in 2018 and almost immediately changed everything for me. As anyone who has had the pleasure of raising a dog can understand, my life grew exponentially. Pearl brought an immeasurable amount of joy and purpose into my world. Apparently, Pearl was very sick and wound up passing away in her arms after suffering two cardiac arrests an hour apart. And I know you want to play Arms of an Angel right now, and I need you to not... How is them playing Royals on a tuba worse than Arms of an Angel?
Sadder for some reason.
Congratulations on that.
You didn't outlaw that one, so I was like, all right, I can play this one.
So she's going to need some time before the next album because she's very sad.
I did see a lot of people.
Chicken in my blood. It's on a drop some vape and dust.
Thank you, Miss McGee.
It's a different kind of buzz to me and be your ruler.
I did see people online saying, thank God this means we're going to get Sad Lord now, like music. And I was like, you're dark, man.
I'll tell you what, though. So, that's somebody who, when she disappears, she disappears. She goes away.
Yeah, for sure.
I have a clip from the new...
Oh, good.
You do?
I don't know if you know that
I
there was
I am not
a,
ready.
There was a preview.
Let's hear it.
From the new, again, Sad Lord with the loss of a great dog.
And we'll never be royals. And we'll never be royals.
She still has some work to do
on it.
She is sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys are all from hell, and I would like to not join you there. Muggs, do you have something we should play?
You've got a shock the body, shock the body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock.
It seems
like the direction she's going.
She's trying to bring dog back to life.
Oh, my God!
Shock the body.
She has those paddles.
Clear!
Boosh!
Do you guys hear yourself?
We're horrible people.
You are awful.
We're terrible
human beings.
People.
Shock the body. Shock the body, body.
Shock the body, body. Shock the body.
It's clear.
Body, body. Shock the body. Shock the body, body.
We're the worst people on the planet.
Happy birthday if it's your birthday.
Before we get into stuff that was stuck in your body.
Body, body.
I'm getting a lot of, and I know I've mentioned this before, so forgive me. I have to mention it again. I'm getting so many wonderful, touching emails from our listeners telling me how much our show has meant to them over the years as I prepare to leave on Thursday.
By the way, you should mention that as many times as you want.
The listeners have just been unbelievable, and I'm going to try to get back to everybody. I have not been able to do that yet, but I'm so surprised how many different ways this show has impacted people's lives. I've especially heard from a lot of people who have said in particular, you going public with the mental health struggles that you had last year really made a tremendous difference, and here's why. And that makes me feel so good to know if that brought that out of the shadows a little bit for some people. And then there's some that I could never in a million years have expected, like this one from Alexandra, who writes in. I wanted to thank you so much for the last 30 years. You might not remember this, but in 1998...
Guarantee he doesn't remember it.
You helped bring a Swedish band called Kent to the U.S., and it changed my life. This is true, by the way. I was on vacation in Iceland, and I heard a song on the local Reykjavik radio station by a band called Kent. It was a very Smashing Pumpkins type sound, a really cool song called If You Were Here. And I bought a copy of it while I was in Iceland, brought it back to Mr. Weatherby and said, this song is so great, this should be a hit in America. We started playing it on K-Rock. And it spread all over the country and became a medium-sized hit.
We bring him songs all the time, and he says no!
I know, okay. I know. So Alexandra goes on, I fell in love with their music when I first heard them on K-Rock, and then I met a guy named Jose, who was a fellow Kent fan, on a Napster chat, to tell you how long ago this was.
Wow.
Well, I want to tell you, we've been together for 18 years now, and we have a son who we named Marcus Kent after the band.
Not after you.
I know.
You brought him
here. What about Marcus Bean?
Marcus
Kent. Come on.
This is Alexandra, though. And this just shows you how random radio is and how impactful K-Rock can be. Not only did we change the fortunes of that band whose album ended up being released by RCA in America as a result of all the airplay it was getting on stations, including K-Rock, but this woman met her lifelong partner. You'd never think just putting a song in rotation is going to result in a kid being born. And who's 18
I'm not
now.
Sure it worked exactly that way.
Well, I'm just saying one thing led to another here. Okay. But that's just
and I think Genuine would like to argue.
I just thought it was a very sweet story.
It
that's
is
all.
Lovely.
It's very nice of Alexandra to even, you know, to even give us the tiniest bit of credit for that.
And that boy grew up to be Nope. Adolf Hitler.
No. No. Marcus is fine. He's
a very fine young man. But Alexandra, glad to be able to have played a part in your life. And thank you very much for reaching out to me today. I appreciate it.
An Australian man who tried to smuggle cannabis into prison cells inside a balloon up his nose was stunned when doctors retrieved the illicit package 18 years later.
Oh, well, I mean, he did a great job of hiding it.
Mm-hmm. 18 years. He thought he swallowed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that it was unable to retrieve it for some reason. I don't know.
Well, come on, your poop.
Well, that's what you would think. Yeah. But it didn't.
Okay.
So he just every day would be like, at some point, this pot has to pass.
I mean, he pretty much says that he doesn't understand it, but it's never going to happen. So he just wrote it off.
Uh-huh.
18 years it was
18
up his
nose. Years.
So why, after 18 years, did he finally have to go see a doctor about it?
I don't know. It doesn't say, except for he was having problems. I mean, he was having problems breathing, but
okay.
It was further up his nose than...
How far back could it be that he wouldn't notice it in his nose anymore?
Don't know.
I need answers from this guy.
Do we know the size of the bag? Is it like
a little bag,
like a small...
Yeah. It's a little, it's a little
balloon filled with drugs.
Kind of like almost 2 inches by 2 inches.
How would you not know that was still in your nose?
All right, here may be the answer. Over the years, the balloon slowly developed into a rhinolith, which is a word I don't know, which is a stone in the nasal cavity that forms around a foreign body because of a buildup of calcium and magnesium salts. The patient suffered regular sinus infections and breathing problems, but only sought medical attention when he started getting severe headaches.
Oh, wow.
Doctors performed a CT scan and discovered the capsule. It was surgically removed, and 3 months later, the patient reported that all symptoms had disappeared. So, 18 years, a balloon full of pot in his nose. That's what he had stuck in his body.
Did he smoke it?
Was he arrested?
Doesn't say. Was he still in jail 18 years later?
There's a lot of questions.
That are most likely irrelevant.
Truly open-ended story right. here.
I'm just wondering about this.
Was he
still in jail?
Did we write this?
Wow.
How did he meet his lady?
We're going to be taking your calls, by the way. If you've ever had anything stuck in your body.
Oh, no.
Yep.
That's what we are looking for. For instance, we tease this. Man had tweezers lodged in his urethra for 4 years.
Oh, How do you not notice?
I think he noticed. He was just mortified that he stuck tweezers up his urethra.
Really?
So for 4 years, he was like, oh, it'll go away?
Yeah, maybe I'll pee it out. I don't know.
I mean, I do remember I went to high school with a kid whose dad was a doctor, and I do distinctly remember him telling me that we would be surprised by the things that he has to pull out.
Oh, Dr. Mo.
We talk to Dr. Mo all the time, and he has a laundry list.
It's like
light bulbs.
Pool balls. Like
light bulbs.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully those people call.
Emergency room doctors and nurses have seen it all. So this guy puts the tweezers in his urethra. He's 22 years old. X-rays showed a long foreign body lodged in his urethra with the metal forceps embedded into his flesh.
Oh, my God.
Despite his predicament, the young man told doctors he did not have urological issues and could urinate normally. He also didn't report having any fevers or chills. But once they found the tweezers, they took him to an operating room, placed him under general anesthesia, and removed it. So he's fine, apparently. I think you're right. I think that Jensen, he knew that it was a bad thing, but thought, well... it's not coming out, but it's also not hurting, so I'll just leave it in there. He probably thought...
Just because of embarrassment?
Rather than face the embarrassment, I'm certain. That's what happened here.
That's a balloon of weed in my head.
Yeah.
Like, that seems crazy. I mean, also cool. People will think you're insane. Yeah.
That guy, 18 years. That's insanity.
18
years. Yes.
Yeah,
we get it.
Kanye reference.
For God's sakes, Allie. We got it the first 10 times you said it.
You've had that stuck in your head for 20 minutes.
I can't stop.
We're trying desperately to move on and you won't let us.
I see.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number.
The man did not report experiencing any inflammatory issues. Last year, the story of an Indian boy went viral after doctors found a pen tip inside his penis that had caused several urinary tract infections. The authors of this article also explained cases of people inserting foreign objects into their reproductive organs and urinary system defies imagination. According to the case report, the items have included fish hooks,
no.
Metal rods, screws, wires, wooden sticks, a piece of fish,
what?
And even telephone cables.
Is it kale?
And even what?
Telephone cables.
But every time, every time when they catch it, what's this doing here?
Why is a piece of fish in my urethra?
What? That's crazy.
In every one of those examples, why?
I don't know why. Man. All right, let's take Latrice real quick before the break, and then we'll take your calls too at 1-800-520-1067. Miss Latrice joins us from Van Nuys here on KREP. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who got what stuck where?
My sister, she got a bead stuck in her ear, and it was in there for a couple of years.
Wow.
Before she finally told my parents about it, and my dad just put some oil in her ear and shook her by her feet, and it came out.
Shook her by her feet. Not true. Not true.
This is fake, Latrice. That really happened?
That did not happen.
Yes, it did.
He didn't shake her by her feet, though.
He didn't do that.
Yeah, he stood up on our table bench. He stood up on our table bench. This isn't true. And grabbed her feet and shook her.
And shook her from the feet.
Why are you lying? Liar. Why are you lying?
Look,
why
are
you lying?
I swear, how old was your sister?
How old was she?
She was, when it finally came out, she was about 8 or 9.
Oh, my God.
I love this story. I don't care if it's...
I wish...
I agree.
I think it's very true.
But it got in her ear
because she was trying to do a magic trick.
Okay. I love your family.
This story has everything.
I wish Christine was here today so we could test it on her and just hold her by the feet and shake her and see if anything comes out.
All right, Latrice. We're going to allow it just this once. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What got stuck in a part of your body? We're taking your calls next time, K-Rock.
Just to add a radio head, let's take one phone call. Let's make it John in Riverside. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
John, is it true you are an ER doctor?
That is correct.
You are just the man we need. So people sometimes get, Allie wants to know if you're single, first of all. People sometimes get things stuck in their bodies. You have experience with this?
Yeah, unfortunately so.
All right, what'd you see?
Okay, so there was a patient that came in. He had a pretty long history, and he would return over and over again. It was a complaint of something in the penis, and... after you did the scan, we found that he had a pencil that he put in there nobody found after several months worth.
Wait, how did nobody else find it, John?
Because he wasn't really complaining about it until it came to the point where it was actually bothering him.
Oh. Oh, wow. What was he writing with during all that time?
He was using a pen.
How difficult a procedure was that to remove the pencil from his urethra?
Yeah, did you have to?
Shock the body. Shock the body, body.
Is that a tough surgery, doctor?
Yeah, how'd you get the lead out?
Yeah, I mean, so again, like, we didn't do that. We just referred that to the urologist. The interesting thing, if you go back in the chart review, like 6 months ago, he was talking to psychiatry. He had some mental health issues, and he had a dream that he did it. But he never actually believed that he did it. Wow, we were having fun until that last part.
We didn't need the...
Wait, did you guys find out how he signed the check to pay for that visit?
Thank you for the call, John. We appreciate it very much. If you had something stuck in your body part, we want to hear from you. Allie, I can't believe this hasn't happened to you.
Why?
What is wrong with you?
I don't know, like a burr in your ear or something.
That's definitely what you were thinking about.
A burr in my ear. 1-800- you were thinking something in my ear.
520-1067. Talk to you next.
He didn't put it there.
We're taking your calls right now on things that got stuck in your body. Unfortunately, it seems to be very common with our listeners, including Sandra, who's on line 3 at 1-800-520-1067. Sandra from Santa Ana, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
And this was you? This is something you put in your body intentionally?
Yeah, I was only about, I don't know, 6 or 7. I think I was in first grade, and somebody double dared me to put this eraser in my ear from the, you know, the one, it was like perfectly new from the pencil.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, now let me just stop and say, no one can judge you, because if you're double dared, you really don't have a choice.
As you know, you're legally binded as a
child.
You got to
do it, yeah. All right, so you put the eraser in, and it got stuck.
Yeah, it was a must. I had to do it. And of course, I tried taking it out and no help, nothing. I stayed quiet. I didn't want to say nothing. At one point, I did ask my mom to look in there that I had something, but she couldn't see nothing, and I didn't say nothing. About 6-7 months later, there was a birthday party across the street, and they were breaking the piñata.
Yeah.
And I got hit with a stick.
Oh, my gosh.
You got hit with a stick.
Yeah, you know when they break the piñata?
And it shook it loose?
No, I got knocked out. So my dad, to make sure I was fine, the next day he takes me to the doctor to get checked out. And they do a regular checkup. And they were checking my ears. The doctor and he sees something. And then he's like, what is that? And eventually they finally said what it was and that I accidentally fell asleep. And I guess it was on the bed and somehow it went
Wow. And they all bought that?
I love a kid lie. Now,
Sandra, just so it's out there, did anyone try to oil up your ear and then hold you by the feet and shake you? Was that tried?
No, okay. Not necessarily.
That's a shame. It would have helped.
Yeah. So parents don't know everything, I guess.
No.
So they were able to remove it, or it's still in there, Sandra?
No, they did. They finally did. They had to send me to a specialist and ear doctor. They had a pressure with pressured water. They rinsed it out twice. They said on the last one, if it didn't come out, they would have to go in and do surgery because they're also going to damage my ear.
Oh, my God.
The bigger problem is the water shot out the other side.
Right?
It wasn't pressure wash. Oh. Yeah. Different. Very different.
Sandra, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening with your one good ear. We appreciate it. Let's try. Give me some Tina, would you, on line 7? Tina, Santa Ana, up next on Kira. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. So I have a piece of #2 lead stuck in my left leg.
Still in your leg.
Yes, I was 12 years old when this happened. I'm about to turn 40. My little sister was running around the house, chasing me with the #2 pencil. She finally got to me. She stabbed me in the leg, and it's been there ever since. And I can feel it every time I move.
How did that not get infected or something? Just being stuck in your leg.
It may have, like, right in the beginning or early, you know, like, first few weeks. But then
my whole leg's black. Is that a problem?
I thought it was a tan.
Tina, why didn't you go to the doctor at some point between 12 and 40?
I mean, I think I have mentioned it to them, and they are like nothing. And they're very nonchalant about it.
Huh. Okay. I mean, I guess you know best.
Does she? She has a tan
on
one leg.
No, she does not. She does not know best. You should see a doctor.
Thank you, Tina. One more. Joe, South Pasadena, line 1 to close this down.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, first time caller, longtime listener. Rest in peace, Dean.
All right, I'm fine. I'm fine.
God willing.
You stuck something in your body?
I did.
Yes, go ahead.
My sister and I, we were younger. I was 7. She was 8. And we had a contest sticking Lucky Charms up our nose.
Very reasonable.
Listen,
very
that's reasonable. A valid contest.
Yeah.
Who won?
I figured if I put them in my nose and let them wait long enough, they would get soggy so I could put more in there.
Oh!
Sure.
That makes sense.
I don't like it.
I did. I packed so many Lucky Charms up my nose that I couldn't breathe anymore. My mom came home and took me to the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, the sun hit me in the eyes and I sneezed and blew Lucky Charms all over the window.
That story has everything. It is 8:51.
Allie, you're opening up for the great Jimmy Pardo right now with this What's Happening.
That feels good.
Mr. Pardo is going to be joining us coming up right after 9 a.m. here on KROQ. First, take it away.
Well, I've got tickets for you guys. How about a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah at the Staples Center?
Yay!
On December 6th, he'll be performing there. Tickets on sale right now at AXS.com, but no need. Because I'm going to give them away right now to caller 10, 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to get that pair of tickets to Trevor Noah at Staples Center on December 6th. Congratulations.
Somebody call my mama.
Okay.
Call now.
So, yep. Mm-hmm. They're going to be calling.
Taking care of.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Call it.
We talked about this in the 5 a.m. hour, and I was, like many people, just astounded at Beer Mug's knowledge of all things mobster, all things cocaine cowboy, all things basically any fact you need to know about any gangster or mobster. There's his theme song right there. He just
knows. We have
knows.
To play this contractually every time Beer Mug enters a room.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. Here's
and also,
thing.
He's holding a cat and petting it. Very weird.
That's not a cat.
Out of nowhere.
That is not a cat.
All right.
So El Chapo might finally be able to see his beauty queen wife. on Prison TV. Her name is Emma, and here's the thing. She's 30 years old. She's the wife of the notorious drug kingpin. She's now in talks to join VH1's Cartel Crew.
That can't be a thing.
It's a show. It's a real thing.
Beer Mug, what are you holding a horse head for?
I once told the guy,
Oh God.
Hey, I got an offer for you.
Right.
And it was an offer he couldn't refuse.
Why did you sound like death at the end? It was supposed to be powerful. Died.
I think I'm coming down with something, you guys.
The Beer Mug father is terrifying.
Lord.
He sounds, it's like less Italian mobster, more emphysema victim.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It's a little bit of Beans pneumonia.
Yeah.
And Marlon Brando.
Here's
are you
thing.
Are you offended that I would come to you on the day of your daughter's wedding and ask this favor of you?
Usually, Bean, I would say, what's so important to be coming to me on the day of my daughter's wedding?
He's 105.
1,000 years old, yeah.
But since you'll be dying soon, I will allow it.
Because you'll be dying with him.
I got to work on that.
Okay, I mean,
I can just about walk. I can't hold a walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
So why are they putting El Chapo's wife on TV? I still don't understand.
Here's the thing, though. His wife, Emma, was photographed on a yacht for a meeting with cast member Michael Blanco, the youngest son of cocaine godmother Griselda Blanco, who Mug schooled us in all things Blanco.
Yes, I pretty much told you her whole history a couple hours ago, and I forgot to mention, I said she was the Black Widow, but I didn't explain why. Is she killed like four of her husbands.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah, if they crossed the line.
Oh, like, sure.
If they stepped on her game. It's
but
crazy.
You said she was also the one that kind of invented the drive-by
yes,
on the motorcycle.
The drive-by motorcycle Uzi-ing.
That's a lot.
What?
Someone with an Uzi on the back of a motorbike shot her dead, and she invented that to take out her enemies.
So wow. She was killed by her own, like the guy who fell off, what were those scooters called?
Vespa?
Yeah, no, the, you know, like the people mover, the one they use on...
Oh, Segway.
A Segway. The guy who created the Segway fell off a cliff on a Segway.
Oh my
no.
God.
Yes! Is that real?
That is real. That's a true story.
Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah.
How do you know all this, Muggs?
I've watched a lot of documentaries.
So have I.
And I think history is my favorite subject ever.
Yeah, but a very specific history that involves organized crime.
Well, mostly, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
You're an encyclopedia. Look it up, kids.
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
Look up an encyclopedia.
Yeah, what are you
going to
look
sad.
That up in?
Yeah. And Griselda was at a meat market buying some meat
what?
At the time of her death.
Okay. That was a good tip.
What meat? You know?
I mean, I'm sure a nice sausage.
A fat sausage.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question.
Max.
If you're named El Chapo, and that's a great nickname, obviously, for a criminal, and then you're kind of, she was a criminal in her own right, pretty strong, obviously.
Oh,
created
man.
The Vespa drive-by. She just went by Emma.
No, you guys are getting everyone confused. His wife is a 30-year-old beauty queen.
Oh, okay.
The
She's
woman,
Emma.
Griselda Blanco,
Black
is
Widow.
Very dead.
And that's a great name. The
very
Black,
dead.
The Black
she
Widow.
Is Michael Blanco's
so
mother.
So the dead woman is not on the VH1 show.
She is not. However,
well, I'm not tuning
son,
in.
Her son Michael Blanco, who was named after...
Who originally was... His name on his birth certificate was Michael Corleone because of The Godfather. Because Griselda loved those movies.
Yeah. Right. She lived them.
Yeah.
Muggs, if you could go back in time, would you be a gangster?
Great question.
Yes.
I just got to say,
answer.
You'd be a terrible gangster.
Yeah, you'd be terrible.
For everything I know.
I would
You're
be clipped
so goofy.
People would be, it would be like 8 in the morning and he'd be setting up like a killing and they'd go, do you guys smell chili fries? I think we're going to get killed by Beer Mug.
Yeah, on the day that I went to be made, I would get clipped right there.
Right.
Yeah. You would just always have a shine box with you.
Mm-hmm. Now go home and get Jeff and shine box.
No, but you'd have
oh,
it
I'd
with
have,
you,
right. Yeah.
is
right.
what I'm saying.
How dare you?
Okay.
You think I still
know
Mug's shoes?
All the voices,
I didn't
way.
Know either. He's yeah. the Michael Winslow of Kevin and Bean.
It's a one-man show.
Yeah, no idea.
This is fun,
Winslow,
you guys.
Kevin and Bean.
I think we should start a new segment.
Where you just talk about your gangster knowledge?
Beer Mug Mob Historian.
Can you start that segment on Monday?
Oh, how dare you? Oh.
We should take calls from actual Italians and have them duke it out with you as to knowledge.
I think Muggs would win.
Yeah, that would be great.
That's what I'm saying.
I think Muggs would win.
I mean, why are you leaving out the Irish?
Yeah, the Irish could come into
play, too. I'm just saying, the Irish, those are even scarier mobsters.
Stump Muggo Corleone.
That's pretty good.
Oh,
that's good.
I like it.
Well, see, Bean, we already fixed the segment, so get out of here.
And Bean's not going to be around.
We fixed it.
Oh, Bean. Is that why you're leaving?
I think I'll be all right.
Oh, no.
Was that you doing an impression of Muggs doing an impression of
Godfather? No, just I think I'll be all right.
Felt like Inception.
Right.
So Seth Meyers' new comedy special, Lobby Baby, debuts on Netflix, and there's a segment that you can skip over, you guys. For those who are sick of comedy that's tainted by politics, Meyers asked Netflix to create a button for viewers to opt out of watching that segment. In the same way that you can, you know, press skip intro if you don't want to see something.
That's great.
It's not real.
Oh.
It's a fun idea.
That would be great.
That would be
but
great.
But the skip button is not meant to be taken seriously, according to Meyers.
I was very
calling
happy.
It just another joke in the special. Which is a bummer, because I think a lot of people were like, nice, I'm just going to skip right through this politics chunk.
They could easily something going on, and it's bad.
They could easily do that, don't you think?
I feel like,
the same way as they
Why not?
Skip intro.
Do you skip all intros, or are there some that you do watch?
Some I do watch.
Mm-hmm.
BoJack Horseman, I always watch. Great
sort
intro.
Sort of part of the show. Mine's MC, I watch.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Do you sing along?
Yeah.
Were you bummed that this year they switched to a female singer and forewent the male singer?
No, I think it still is perfect.
Yeah. I think the first time I heard it, I was like, wow, what? Because I liked the old one so much. Now I love it.
I love it, too. It's fantastic. It's
great. I hate it.
What?
Okay, cool. You know what I'd never skip?
Hmm?
Peaky Blinders. I never skip that one.
Hmm.
Really good. Have you guys heard about the show Peaky Blinders?
Yes.
You want to get
again,
to
a reminder
Jimmy,
that Jimmy Pardo you want to get standing
birthdays for you. Flume, Kevin Jonas, Odell Beckham Jr., Tilda Swinton, Bill Walton, and Sam Rockwell. Nope.
Good actor.
Bean?
Great actor.
Mm-hmm. Good
Damn
actor.
It.
Academy Award winner.
Yes.
Damn you.
Great painter.
What?
That's not him. Different guy as well.
Now, listen, that's how we start the show. Loose and Goose. 591-ROCK, 591-ROCK. Give us a call. Let us know what other words you'd like to rhyme. that's the premise today, right? We're doing rhyming words, guys. Give us a call, huh? Crunch and Munch. There's another choice. These are the type of things we're talking about. Right? Let's do this thing.
Jimmy Pardo, why are you not replacing me on the Kevin and Bean Show? Why are you not the new co-host of this program?
In all due respect to the people that are around Kevin, yeah, why?
I think it every morning. I also think, if I may, and I don't want to step in anybody's toes.
Go ahead.
Too much music on this show. That's a compliment to you guys.
Oh, that's
too
lovely.
Much music. I don't
so
need to hear.
Prefer to hear more talking.
I think you guys are terrific, and I do not need to hear the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'll say it again.
We have battled the management of this station for our entire 30 years.
Yes. But they're wrong.
And
especially,
lost.
If I may, and again, I'm an outsider.
No, go ahead.
As a gentleman who now makes my living doing a podcast, which is a spoken word, I think we're going in that direction, and I think your management should maybe move with the times.
But then who will play Foo Fighters, Jimmy?
Oh,
who?
No, I'm fine with Foo Fighters, but Red Hot Chili Peppers.
But let me back up the smart man here and say that our listeners have many choices of where to get the music that they would like to hear. The only place they can get Kevin and Bean is listening to the radio or through radio.com.
Mm-hmm. Through Thursday.
Through Thursday, right. So what I'm saying is I agree with you, Jimmy. Yeah. I think the music is probably less important now on the program than it ever has been.
Now, listen, now that said, you guys have broken a lot of great acts that, like, acts I never would have heard of, and can't name one right now because I...
Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode.
UB40.
Oh, I thought you liked Depeche Mode.
Oh, no, I can't stand Depeche Mode.
Oh, that's what it was, because you love Chicago.
No, in fact, I'm furious with
that's what
Richard Blade to this second... Remember, there was a time
who doesn't love
he
Depeche
played
Mode?
Every other song.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Here's Depeche Mode.
Well,
got it, Richard.
Oh, he should have. He
should have.
The greatest?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Chicago.
Not on K-Rock. You wouldn't play Chicago on K-Rock.
No,
it'd
I'm
be
just
ridiculous.
Saying you love Chicago more than anyone should love Chicago.
I like Chicago more than Depeche Mode, yes.
Jimmy, how do you feel about Depeche Mode as a nominee for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? You're horrified, I imagine.
I don't know if I'm horrified as much as I just... they're not for me, so obviously they have a great following, and I'm sure there's fans that are very excited about it.
Okay.
Yeah. How about that?
Especially at our audience.
I like it.
Right? Jimmy Pardo was here because he mentioned his podcast. He obviously is one of the godfathers of podcasting with Never Not Funny, which has been around for, God, how many years now, Jimmy?
It'll be 14 in April, so
that's crazy.
Wow. Right, isn't it?
Wow.
Unbelievable, yeah. And he is back in studio today, A, because he's my closest friend in show business, and this is our official saying goodbye.
To say goodbye.
And also because he has just debuted today a brand new web series that is, you could not custom
create a show more up my alley, Jimmy. You and I are both fans of pop music through the years. And when I heard about this, I could not have been more excited about Jimmy's Records and Tapes. It just
got it on vinyl, CD, and cassette. We've got pop rock, heavy metal, punk, funk, rap, and new wave. All sales are final, but you never regret.
Got his own theme song, guys.
All the music you get. Jimmy's Records and Tapes.
What's the concept here, Jimmy?
Oh, well, you missed the tag. At the end, I say, I'm loving music again. I'm loving music again.
It was there. I just plotted it down.
Sorry. That is a drop from, I bought a turntable, and I was listening, and my wife Danielle said, how's the turntable? And I turned to her, with all sincerity, and I just went, almost like with tears in my eyes, I'm loving music again. And she made fun of me.
Wow, she should have.
For hours on end.
She should have.
For the right reason.
It's insane.
Because that's not the reason you didn't love music ever.
No, right. But I'm loving it again, man.
I mean, so earnestly.
So going back to vinyl made that much of a difference in your appreciation of listening to records?
It made me listen to it again. Like, I didn't like listening to it through my computer, you know, necessarily. Yeah. And so,
but
like,
you can get good headphones.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're still listening to MP3s, though, Kevin.
Yeah, you're still
listening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to the good quality, rich sound of vinyl.
You know, it kind of just brought me back to being a kid and just being, you know, buying records as a kid and working in record stores and working for MCA Records. It brought me back to those times. And so getting the vinyl made me feel good again. Made me feel, if I may say, it made me love music again.
Sure. I heard a guy say that. So every is it a weekly?
A weekly thing. We're starting, we're going from 1975 to 1995, a different year every week. And it's really more about my life and like, this week is Bruce Springsteen. I'm not the biggest Springsteen fan, but
that's what I loved, is that his pick this week is Bruce Springsteen, and he starts off by saying, I'm not a huge Bruce Springsteen fan.
Yeah, right. But the story is the hunt for this song that meant, so, like, Born to Run, I think it's maybe in the top 10 greatest songs of all time.
Yes.
Agreed.
And while I'm not a Springsteen fan, I'll admit that. And then the hunt for me to try to figure out what that song was.
Well, let me tell you about what's great about Jimmy, because we've been lucky enough to see episode one right as it posted today. And that is that he tells a story that is tangentially related to Born to Run that ends up with him knocking himself out on a water slide.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how crazy the story is.
Yeah. So it's more about my life. And so if you're coming for, we're going to do a deep dive on these albums every week, that's not what it is. It's it's about why I have that album, why that important, that album, or 45 is important to me. Or not even 45, we might even do like an album track.
Memories and whatnot. Like, I kissed this boy Ian when I heard the song Hole of the Moon by the Waterboys.
How did you know about Jimmy and Ian?
Yeah.
I heard about it.
That's episode three.
That was a horrible breakup, Jensen.
Ian and I love the music again.
Jimmy, I'm concerned that you're not a big Bruce Springsteen fan, though.
You know what? In the middle of this episode, I actually say, I had to have the editor put in, after recording this, Jimmy admitted that he likes a lot more Springsteen than he thinks he does. He apologizes for this error.
I've always said I'm not a huge Springsteen fan, but again, like, you can tell he's for most people, but I saw him live at Staples Center.
Yeah.
Because everyone said you have to see him live. Amazing.
It is, right?
And half the songs I didn't know, and still amazing.
It is, even as a fan, like, I'm not the biggest fan. There's 20 great songs. There's 20.
How are you not a fan, then?
I guess I am at 20. Once you were at 20, I guess.
He's just not a diehard.
How many songs do you need?
Right. Yeah. 20, I need 21 to be considered a fan.
Because with Bruce, it's all or nothing with that guy. It's
right.
Like, I like Bruce Springsteen, too, but I would never claim to be a Bruce Springsteen fan because then you're up against the actual fans, and no one wants that.
Yeah, I can't compete.
No.
You know, and you know, although Nils Lofgren follows me on Twitter, so maybe I'm in. Maybe I'm in deeper than I thought I was.
Part of the group.
Yeah,
somebody's name-dropping. Yep. Wow.
Am I?
Jimmy's Record and Tapes is the new web series, Never Not Funny, the OG podcast. You have a live event coming up before we take a break here, Jimmy. Coming up on November the 25th at Feinstein's at Vitello's. You doing something special there with the podcast that night?
Well, just doing a live show. We did one, I think, back in August that you guys were kind enough to have me come out and promote. It's a great room. It's only about 100 seats, but it's got an old Hollywood jazz vibe to it that really, again, fits in with my dumb persona.
You play music when you're there?
Do I play? No, I do not. Okay, I can't play anything. Oh, boy, do I wish I could play the lute.
The lute.
Follow up. What's a lute? I may not know what that is. I said lute. I may have dropped the F.
With like old, like, Irish,
a lute is like
Celtic people would play.
It was like a Celtic thing.
He left off the F, he said.
String instrument.
Is it a lute? That's a, yeah, it's a stringed instrument, like a violin, like a tiny violin, I think, isn't it?
It's it's any plucked string instrument with a neck and a deep round back enclosed in a hollow cavity.
That's right.
I like that you used the word, though, without knowing what it was.
I at least knew it was an instrument.
I love that.
Again, well, I meant to say flute.
Now you have to learn the lute, dude.
I did make a deal with myself 2 years ago at Parkcastathon, the great event that we do for Smile Train, where I said, hey, you know what? Next year, I'm gonna learn to play the bass.
Great.
And I'm going to play a song with the band. And I said that in 2018.
How'd that go?
The bass looks great in my closet.
Okay, good.
By the way, I just Googled famous lute players.
Yeah.
Sting.
They're all dead by 1626.
So you're the
Sting
so
plays the lute. I think you'll be good.
I'm bringing the lute back.
Mm-hmm. You're not.
I'm loving the lute again.
You can get your tickets for the live event at podcast.com. Quick break, more with our friend Jimmy Pardo next on K-Rock. Legendary comedian and podcaster Jimmy Pardo in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. NeverNotFunny.com.
What? He's never not funny. It's true.
It is. He's never not funny. But I got to tell you, extra credit for Jimmy for playing hurt today. We just found out, he just mentioned right as the spot was ending there, that you're injured today.
Well, you know, it happened a year ago.
What?
Yeah, I'll try to do this as quickly as possible, and it'll sound like I'm doing something out of my act, and I apologize for that. I usually like to be a little more organic than that with you guys. You know, I'm real, if nothing else, Alex. I went to see the movie Free Solo. Did you guys see the movie Free Solo?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
documentary Free Solo about a man named Alex who climbs the face of a mountain.
Sure.
El Capitan.
Sure.
The captain. And he... So anyway, I went to see it at the Arclight in Culver City, and I got there very, very late because it was a last-minute decision. So I had to sit in the third row of the movie, and I watched the movie, and I've never been so tense in my entire life watching this because I don't know. I didn't know anything about the movie when I went to see it. I don't know if I'm watching a snuff film. I don't know if he lives, dies. I don't know what's happening. So, and I'll tell you this. I didn't like the guy, so I was kind of hoping he died.
Okay.
Wow. I'm hoping maybe this is the time where he falls off. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Or he'll make it to the top and go, I'm kind of an a-hole, and jump off. So
either way, he needs to die.
Either way, he needs to die. Man. Uh-huh. So the movie ends. I'm tense. My shoulders are up like I'm doing an Ed Sullivan impression. And
good pull. Good
great
pull.
I go, your young listeners will appreciate that. So I go to leave, and because I was down in the third row, I had to go up a couple of steps. And listen, you guys know me. I'm not a braggart by any way.
No.
By any means. I'm great with stairs, man. I'm great with them.
Mm.
Are you Jensen? Come on, tell your wife.
I will.
I'm great with it.
I would like to hear whatever's coming next.
I'm great with them when they go in order, like 1, 2, 3, like in that, Gloria Estefan style. So, when I'm not so hot with them,
yes,
is when it goes 1, 2, 2.5, then 3.
Okay.
There's like this little extra weird half step at the Arclight in Culver City. So I'm leaving, and I've got my half-eaten popping corn and my
who calls it popping corn?
An idiot.
Okay.
And I've got my half-sipped Coke Zero, and these are not plugs. And so I go to leave, and I'm like, I can't believe that movie, because it really is a phenomenal documentary.
Sure.
Right.
Like,
I believe it won the Oscar.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
and rightfully so, it deserves every accolade it gets. So I go to, I'm walking out, and I go, okay.
And this is the short version of the story, right?
I'm trying to remind everybody. Shut up and let me finish it.
We're not capable of that. Go ahead.
So Thursday can't come soon enough for me, to be honest with you. I can't wait till next Monday when this thing just is smooth sailing, finally. Right now I'm on rapids with you guys. So I go to leave, and so I'm walking up the steps, and I'm like, I can't believe that movie. 1, 2, hit this thing. I trip, and because I have things in my arms, I can't...
You can't put your hands out
I can't put my hands out. And so I kind of bounce off a chair, which bounces me off a carpeted wall, which then throws me down onto the floor.
I wish I had video.
And so do I. Because here's the beauty. I then do that, and then the entire movie theater that was quiet for 90 minutes watching this guy, all at once go, oh! So I go home, and I'm trying to get up, but I've got no muscle support, so I'm trying to like get up, and I'm flopping around like a porpoise on the sea. Like, it's awful. And people are trying to help me, but I'm embarrassed, so I'm like, nah, I'm good. I got it. I'm good. So then I get home, and my wife's like, how was the movie? And she's like, oh, we should go to the emergency room. I go, why? What's up? She goes, well, your wrist is down around your ankle. I'm like, oh, okay.
No.
That can't be good, right? So we go to there. We go to the emergency room, and the guy, doctor, probably a doctor,
sure,
says, he goes, what happened? And I was like, saw a movie.
He's like, what? He goes, what?
Shouldn't have led with that.
What I'm saying is, I watched a movie where a man climbed the face of a mountain right. with no ropes, no carabiners, nothing, and I couldn't walk out of a movie theater. But I'll tell you this, I did it with no ropes, no carabiners, I did it with nothing, no support.
But injured.
That's the fast version of that.
Whoa. And a year later, you're still in pain.
Oh, dude.
A year later.
I probably should have had surgery. We treated it aggressively, as they say.
Did you tell the doctor?
I'm loving music again.
Gotta imagine it came up.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy, we have a treat for you.
Oh, it's okay. A treat.
And this is based off of the new web series that Jimmy debuted this morning called Jimmy's Records and Tapes. By the way, we already got reaction from a listener from the 714. What a great idea for a show, Jimmy. I think songs and records hold a snapshot in your time and your life way better than a photograph ever could.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh. It is, let's face it, we all have great, deep connections with the music. Yeah. So one of the things, we mentioned the Springsteen, you do a deep dive on your love for Born to Run, and that's your album pick of the week. Your single pick of the week is from the same year, 1975, and it's a song called Mr. Jaws.
Yeah.
Now, for folks who don't know, I happen to be a huge Dickie Goodman fan.
Okay.
I own every record he's ever made.
Are you shocked?
That was the least energetic. Okay.
I even read the book his son John wrote about his father's life. That's how much of a Dickie Goodman head I am.
All right.
But for folks who don't know who he is, this is a little bit of the song that Jimmy spotlighted, and then I'll tell you why we're bringing it up.
We are here on the beach where a giant shark has just eaten a girl swimmer. Well, Mr. Jaws, how was it?
Dynamite!
And what did she say when you grabbed her?
Please, Mr. Please.
So he's playing the reporter on the street and asking questions of Mr. Jaws, and then all the popular songs from 1975 are cut together.
Did
to
you
make
think
the
that
answers.
Needed more explanation
for folks who maybe are unfamiliar with the concept? Okay,
you just played it. Okay.
So that's Mr. Jaws. Jimmy had a deep love for that song as a 9-year-old.
Did you have a deep love for that song
when I was a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, there's no question.
What about
as
now?
Did I? By the way, I mean it was my favorite. I listened to that a billion times.
A billion. I agree with you.
Oh my gosh, I love this so much.
On Luniverse Records. Records, by the way.
Sure.
Okay, so we say all of that, Jimmy, to say great pick for the thing. What if I were to tell you that I made my own Mr. Jaws as I prepared to leave a radio station in 1981?
Yay!
I made my own.
It's great.
I can't wait.
And we have it. And you, as a Mr. Jaws Dickie Goodman fan, I think you'll enjoy hearing my effort to duplicate that magic.
Today we're interviewing WOHN announcer Gene Baxter, who in a surprise press conference Friday afternoon announced his plans to leave the radio station. Excuse me, Mr. Baxter.
Just keep talking, mama, I like that sound.
Sir, why did you decide to leave WOHN?
Know that it's time for a cool change.
And how long have you been working with the radio station?
Longer than there have been fishes in the ocean.
I see. Well, what did the management have to say when you told them you wanted to leave?
Stay for just a while.
Anything else?
I guess your leaving was meant to be.
And what did you reply to that?
Oh, it's over. Let me go.
Well, Mr. Baxter, do you think this will be a good move for your career? I seem to recall that you worked at the radio station before. Why did you leave then?
First time I was
okay, then why did you come back?
Once is never enough.
Can you give us a hint, sir, as to what you'll be doing now?
I don't wanna talk about it.
How about just what kind of job will you be after?
That's a long interview.
Very long.
Sir, as you left WOHN Friday afternoon, did you have any final words?
Though we're going our separate ways, there can only be brighter days.
Thank you, sir, for your time.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Can you still have it?
That was outstanding.
Amazing.
It wasn't outstanding.
If you don't have one of those on Thursday,
we're
all going to be disappointed.
I'm not going to have one of those on Thursday.
This is my favorite part. Right now. This is my favorite part.
Anything else?
What a setup question.
Anything else? Was one of those third time lucky by Foghat?
It was, yeah.
My good Lord.
Are you on the street Are there cars passing because?
Yes.
Okay.
Not because
you didn't have good equipment or anything. It's like you literally thought you were on the street.
No, I added sound effects.
Sound effects.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, to make it sound realistic.
That was because, admittedly, we all did that as a kid. We all would like put the record.
Oh, yeah, we all did the tape recorder
up to the speaker. Yeah.
We did.
Bean and I.
No,
we all did that.
Only Bean and you.
You're a certain breed.
I'm telling you, everybody did it, with the exception of you four jerks.
When you're 10 years old and you fall in love with pop music, you can't spend enough time doing nonsense like that.
You do it. And then you would hold it up to the speaker. Then you'd try to put the needle on. You'd go, you'd say, Mr. Pardo, whatever. Then you'd try to put the needle on at the same time. I didn't have the equipment.
And then you say,
anything else?
Did you ever make one, Jimmy?
I not with that kind of quality.
Can you?
Can I now?
Would you?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. Do I need it by Thursday?
Yes.
Then I'm in.
All right. Hey, Jimmy. Yeah. We're going to keep in touch, though, right?
I can't see that happening.
No, seriously.
I no longer have a use for you.
Oh.
Twice a year, it was great. Hey, I get to plug a couple of things.
Hey, you're still welcome to come in.
Thank you guys so much.
You know what? Jimmy Pardo is my best friend in showbiz.
He's our best friend in showbiz.
That's right.
Of course we will, Bean. I can't wait.
That was a very sad ending.
As much as
I thought was an emotional
as much as you've been texting now, which I assume is nothing.
No, we text. We do.
We do text from time to time.
Okay.
Admittedly, it's a little more one-sided on my part. And I always try to go, well, he's busy, and maybe it's the time zone. Maybe that's what's happening. And
Jimmy's Records and Tapes is the new web series. It's available on what? YouTube?
YouTube.com/NeverNotFunny.
There you go. And Never Not Funny is the podcast. Don't forget, tickets on sale now for the live event Monday, November 25th at Feinstein's at Vitello's in Studio City. You're going to have a great time. Jimmy, we love you, man. Thanks for coming
in. I can't thank you enough for everything.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39. Dear Bean, Kate writes in, as I get closer and closer to my last day on the Kevin and Bean Show Thursday morning, I know you hate the mushy stuff, so I'll make it short and sweet. I've enjoyed your show for nearly the past 20 years, and my morning drives will not be the same without you. My dad would occasionally humor my sister and me in the car and let us listen to you guys on the way to school.
I like people that argue with their parents about listening to us.
We would constantly remind him that the show was a source of both actual news and entertainment and wasn't just complete buffoonery, as he insisted it was. So one day, Hugh and Kevin were having an armpit farting contest right as we turned it on. My dad used this as fodder for years, and eventually you just became known as the armpit guys in our household.
That's what we should have gone with for the name.
We still tell this story as our dad has passed away since then. Aw, I hope you know how many lives you touched, how many memories you've created for your listeners. I wish you all the best in your next adventure driving a truck or becoming a postal worker in England. All the best to you and Donna, Kate. I don't know.
Very sweet.
Do we want to be the armpit guys?
I mean,
I guess it's too late. I guess we already are.
Exactly.
So don't try to argue that we're news and entertainment, by the way.
Yeah,
you're gonna lose. It is complete buffoonery. Your dad was right, Kate, but thank you for the email. All right, Allie, one final look at what's happening here, and then we'll say goodbye on a Tuesday.
Jensen has breaking news.
Breaking news.
Oh. Yes, sir.
Bean is
and
not
now,
yet,
breaking
please.
News
go ahead.
Bulletin.
We need to get as many of those in as possible.
And a breaking news bulletin.
Okay.
This is London calling. Here is a news flash.
Well, that one makes the most sense if we want to end on that one. Oh, nope, okay.
Local late breaking.
Yep. Bean is not the only... Okay.
We interrupt this program to bring you breaking news.
Okay. Bean is not the only...
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
This is what it feels like for you. listening to it.
Okay.
It's fun, right?
It is.
It's more fun on this side. Exactly. Bean is not the only person... Look...
And now, for another fast breaking news story, we take you to Kermit the Frog.
Well, that also makes a lot of sense.
We should end on.
That's definitely the one to end on. Bean is not the only one who will be moving from Los Angeles to London. Rumors are saying the Los Angeles Chargers are considering a move to London.
What?
Via The Athletic, they're saying that the NFL and the Chargers have both said they're open to the idea of the team moving to London.
Well, we've talked about how we've all believed that it was the NFL's plan to permanently locate a franchise there, which is why they play several games a year.
Because they're
trying to build up the fan base. But I just...
No, and the San Diego Chargers home games are always more away fans.
They're away games,
It's going to be like that in London.
Sure.
But I have...
it's no different.
But I have wondered, as I'm sure you have, of the logistics of making a team travel back and forth from Europe to America 8 times a year.
Right.
I just don't even see how that's fair to that team.
Well, you're a Chargers fan now, bud. Join in the festivities when you get there.
They went through so much to move to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and they're just going to throw that away to leave
again? All their fans are going to be so bummed. All the Chargers fans.
Yeah.
San Diego, Superchargers.
Just put London in there.
San Diego,
London.
Chargers, San
London.
Diego, Superchargers, San
London.
Diego,
So, early impressions, you guys. Good move, bad move?
A horrible move. You don't have teams traveling that. No, it's going to ruin all the divisions. It's awful. It's stupid. Stop it. You suck enough money out of the U.S.
Wow.
Wow.
So, you haven't decided yet.
No, I'm undecided. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm kind
How
of
about you,
fence.
Kevin? What do you think?
I don't know. I feel the logistics is bad, too. Like, they're, if they come over here for away games, they're going to have to do four, five in a row, six. In a row before they go back.
Muggs, what's your thoughts on it?
The owner of the Chargers just needs to take the team back to San Diego in beautiful Mission Valley where they have that stadium, and he just has to sack up and pay the money.
Amen, brother. Amen. I think San Diego agrees with you.
Yeah.
Open up those pockets. You got the money, D-bag. Yeah. Build something nicer or just update your stadium.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Sounds like someone's going to London.
Okay.
Interesting.
Anyway, breaking news.
Well, that is
not sure how they'll make that work, but
yeah, I don't either. I'm sure it's early days on the process.
Yes.
There's a lot that has to happen, obviously, but interesting to keep an eye on.
Thanks for that, Bean.
Bean.
Gonna miss Bean.
It's getting soon, man. This show's ending. This one's ending. Today's is ending. I'm saying.
Right.
Don't freak out.
Right.
What I'm saying is after that, then there's Wednesday.
Right.
Then there's Thursday.
Right.
That's it.
That's it.
Then Bean's gone.
Yeah. Do you think that rickety chair that you've been sitting on will hold up until Thursday?
I hope so.
Bean, his whole system is breaking.
It really is.
He got sick. He's been dropping out of the ISDN line, which we keep him on. Obviously, that's how he does the show. It's all a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
It is. I wasn't going to replace the chair knowing I was leaving, Allie. It would have been dumb to buy a new chair with a few months.
Seriously, it just makes me laugh when you go to read an email and it sounds like story time with Grandpa because it sounds like you're in a rocking chair.
It's a little squeaky. I know.
I enjoy it.
Anything else?
So Alec Baldwin is suing the man who claims that he punched him during a parking dispute in 2018. TMZ obtained a copy of the lawsuit, which says the SNL star, claims that the guy lied about what was happening during the spat. TMZ reports that the incident took place when the gentleman pulled into a parking spot and came too close to Baldwin's wife and child waiting on the curb. Baldwin admits to lightly pushing him during the dispute and claims video surveillance footage and hospital records will prove that the driver lied about being assaulted. I'm having some reading issues right there. That was a problem. Here's the thing. Even if you lightly pushed him.
Still assault,
that
right?
That is assault, yeah. Alec Baldwin. Why are your lawyers so stupid? Like, what's happening here? I can understand if it's like an exorbitant amount
defense.
Of money or something, but there is video evidence that you did push him, so therefore it is assault.
But it could make a difference in the settlement later. Like, was he really hurt? Not really.
If he said $8 million because you broke my arm, you can tell that didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, he should go to jail, right, for the rest of his life?
Well, that seems
not positive.
Does that seem extreme?
It does seem extreme,
okay.
Yeah. A little too much.
Maybe one day I'll turn and I'll like Alec Baldwin, but I don't see it happening, you guys. Harry Styles, in case you missed it earlier, he had announced that his new album is coming out December 13th. It will be called Fine Line.
The ending there.
Yeah, that is good. I don't want to pile on or anything.
No,
you guys
if you have it.
Joking, but the new Harry Styles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what you're asking
for? Yeah.
I got it.
Poop diddy scoop, scoop diddy whoop, whoop diddy scoop dee poop, poop diddy scoop.
Mm-hmm. That's just Omar's voice pitched up doing Kanye.
Oh.
Yeah, that wasn't really it.
Oh, I have it. Okay, that last one, I understand, was the wrong...
No, you had it messed up.
Yeah,
okay.
Here it is.
I don't... Is that Harry Styles? What are we listening to?
What was that?
Okay.
It wasn't Harry Styles.
Okay,
I have Harry Styles, but go ahead.
Let me explain.
Please.
Recently, I was looking for new drops.
Yes.
Wow.
And I found a kid who's like six years old and has zero followers, which I find hard to do. I think if your
parents aren't even following you, somebody.
No, it's harder to get zero than 10 million, in my opinion. And every once in a while, this kid is like, I'm really excited about my new song. And so I have become obsessed and went down the hole of watching all the videos. But all the songs sound like this.
How does he not have more than zero followers?
I'm sorry. To recap, you found a six-year-old child.
Well, 6 to 8, somewhere in there.
6 to 8 year old child that you don't know.
No.
That nobody knows.
No, doing a deep dive.
And now you watch all his videos.
They're pretty good.
You are creepy as hell, sir.
So anyway, wait, someone have the real song.
You want Harry Styles?
Yes.
I have a clip of the real song and Harry Styles.
My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole. And he can't eat fiber. Cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole.
Hey.
And he can't eat fiber. Cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole.
Oh, no.
Is that it?
That's such a good
song.
That's
Harry Styles, right?
Yay! I think based on what time it is, yes, that's it.
Some birthdays for you.
All of a sudden, Bean's the man.
Bill Walton, Tilda Swinton, Odell Beckham Jr., Kevin Jonas, Flume, and Sam Rockwell. Nope.
Still got time for this.
Nope. Again, that's
Rockwell,
a singer named Rockwell. I'm talking about Sam Rockwell.
My mistake.
He's an actor. Yeah. Go ahead, Muggs.
He has good paintings.
All right. That's what's happening. I hate you all.
If you drive home today, listen to Stryker and Klein for a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Bean makes his guests. We also have Cheers with Muggs, which we love so much. And how many times did you fail your driving test?
I mean, someone did a story. Was it Allie did a story this morning about a guy on his 10th time?
Yes.
Or was Kevin? Kevin did the story. Yeah. 10 times he failed it.
Failed it, so. Yeah. But had driven a car there that he had stolen.
At least he did that.
So at least he did that.